This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do today?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What did you do last summer again?
I told you, I spent it with my uncle in Alaska hunting wolverines. They kept trying to attack my cousins. What the heck would you do in a situation like that?
Paul Perillo.
Are you going to eat your tots?
No.
Can I have them?
Give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today. Freaking idiot.
And Andy. And Andy?
Well, you have a sweet bike, and you're really good at hooking up with chicks.
Andy Hart.
Plus, you're like the only guy at school who has a mustache.
That's true.
Some guy named Tom.
If you need to use any of my skills, I can do whatever you want. Plus, I could be your bodyguard, too. Or like Secret Service captain or whatever.
Sweet.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
She's the best thing that has ever happened to me. I'm 100% positive that she's my soulmate. I'm sure there's a babe out there for you too. Peace out.
PFW in Progress.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life and make me look like a freaking idiot?
The great open to PFW in Progress, brought to you by Fred Kirsch.
Are we on? Oh, okay. Sorry about that, everybody. Welcome to PFW in Progress.
Just sounded like Joe Castiglione. Sorry about that, everybody.
Hi, ZDU.
Screw the socks. Let's talk some football.
No, so just so everyone knows.
Oh, that's Gary's fault.
To the left of me is terrible. Gary through the glass, but I was busy looking to the right of me at Paul Perillo telling me why the AFC East.
AL East
division is over, and the Red Sox have got it all wrapped up. So that's
because he has a brain in his
music.
And I didn't have my earphones plugged in, so I didn't hear the music. Was it a good open, Gary?
It was Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
Napoleon Dynamite. Nothing new in it yet?
He's ripping it.
Beginning of the new season.
No, Gary, you have some new stuff, right?
Coming soon, yes.
Okay, good. We'll be looking forward to that. All right, so welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang's all here. Fred, Andy, Tom, Eric, Paul, Gary through the glass, and we're here for another 2 hours.
Teddy Bruschi's out signing books outside the door.
Yeah, yeah. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio@patriots.com is the email address. The phone number is 508.
Bad matchup,
Leon Washington. 543-7482. And, of course, we're going to start right off by talking about the game that happened last Friday against Carolina. I think we all agree it was best effort yet.
Dominant.
That's what Bill said, so dominant. I'll align myself with him.
Dominant, says Paul.
It was so dominant that, as Andy just pointed out, even Bill said it was our best week of practice and our best showing in a game.
And Tom looked at me at halftime and said, I'm ready to go home now. So.
Yeah.
That happens every halftime.
I was going to say, Patriots-Colts will be saying that.
Carolina had one play. They had one play, basically. They had the touch. I think they had two pass plays in the first half that netted decent yards. But other than that, they didn't do nothing.
I think Maroney, it was great to see him out there and get that type of work.
The biggest thing to me was, and Tom had pointed this out, was just how much the Patriots just seemed to push Carolina around. The Patriots' offense.
Well, we expected that, though. We talked about that last week. Because they had been so thoroughly outplayed and embarrassed a little bit, whenever that happens, they bounce back.
But I was expecting, you know, one of those weeks where the pass protection is all of a sudden great and whatever, but we didn't really even have to see any of that. We just saw flat-out domination on the ground, pushing the line back, illustrated no better than Bill going for a 4th-and-1 from his own 23 or 4-yard line and getting it with a 5-yard run. I mean, it wasn't even close.
Right.
And you know what, though? That's another reason why he's such a good coach, because The preseason game, it doesn't matter what the score is. He said after the game that he wanted to put his offense in that position, you know, just to give him a little, let's see what you can do here.
Right.
And how many
creative
times
pressure,
do you see
high
that?
Pressure spot.
A pressure situation. And how many times do you see coaches do that. You just don't see it. They'll just punt. And
do you guys
blah,
think
blah,
he would
blah.
Have he would have gone for it in a regular game?
Oh no,
no.
Well, it depends on the situation. If they
no way
not
if
right
they,
there.
If they have a drive,
he's not
Barry
Switzer.
Game,
he admitted to that.
Choice.
He did it because he said there's going to be a situation
right.
where we need to get a yard, where the opponent needs to get, knows right. we need to get a yard, and we just need to do it.
Fred, come on.
Midway through the first quarter on your own 23-yard line. I'm not saying. I'm down seven, and it's fourth
right.
and one. I have no
but
choice.
That's what he's getting them prepared for.
No, he's yeah. He,
no,
well,
but I think
he's
just
getting
them prepared for the yard, wherever
exactly,
that yard is.
Exactly.
He's
and I think that's the best way to do it because if it's on the other 40, then it's not really as big a pressure situation because you turn the ball over, you
right,
play
but
deep.
This is
embarrassing if you don't get it. This embarrasses your offensive line if they don't get this. It makes you look really bad.
He's
so
prepared to go for a fourth down instead of a field goal is what he's doing, which he does more than anybody else in the league.
Or to extend a drive when you have, you know, you need at the end of the game.
You mean you're talking about in a trailing situation?
Yes.
That's different. That's not getting a yard because we need a yard. That's we have to go down and score.
I
if
know,
we score,
but
we lose.
You don't get that yard, you turn the ball over on downs.
But I'm saying in a desperation situation at the end of the game, 1 yard isn't what you're looking for.
Are you two going to be okay? Because this started.
I don't know why he's arguing in this.
These two have been going at it all night.
Yeah,
I don't understand what the hell he's arguing about.
Because you're,
I really don't.
Because you're talking about two totally different
I'm talking
games,
about right? having to get a first down in
Andy,
a situation.
Andy explained it perfectly.
I thought so.
Andy explained it absolutely perfectly. He's talking about going for a fourth down and one instead of kicking a field goal or maybe around the 40 where it's too close to punt.
Why is it instead of anything? It's needing to get a first down on fourth
and
one.
And I'm telling you.
Period.
And I'm telling you that the
situation.
Because
most times you punt.
The situation.
Right, but sometimes you can't. Right? And those are the times where he's preparing them for when we just have to get this yard.
Stop laughing, Paul Borello.
But when would you be.
Thanks.
I don't think you'd ever be doing it in the situation they were in.
Right.
Because if you're in that situation, if it's the end of game and you need to drive, you're not running the ball up the middle.
You got them swearing over there now.
I don't believe this. No, in the second quarter, they wouldn't do this.
Two different things.
They would never do
that. Okay, so in your opinion, they're preparing for something they never do.
No.
No,
I'm talking about
you're looking at the circumstances. He was just looking at the 1 yard they needed to get when the defense knew they needed to get
it. That's what I'm saying.
But
you're saying that they might actually go for the fourth and one in that situation.
At the end of the game.
But not on that spot.
But I'm saying
because they wouldn't run the ball up the middle. If
right.
they were in that situation, they'd be running to get to the sideline. They're moving to get in position to score.
The defense wouldn't be stacked with 10
right.
guys on the line of scrimmage. They'd be preventing
that
a
situation
big play.
Would never come up.
So they would never do it then. I don't understand.
Right. That situation they would never do. Ever. Zero.
From the 23 yard. That was the
zero.
Only, that was the only question.
Literally
I asked,
zero.
By the way.
You know, next topic.
I'm really sorry I brought this up, but that's all I was asking if you guys thought they would ever go for
no,
it from his own
there is
23.
Never a situation.
In a tie game.
You don't think if they had three timeouts, they'd go run
they
up
would
the,
run up the middle? No.
Why not?
Because you have to go 70 yards to score, and I don't think it's just easy to go 70 yards where you
it
waste a play.
Wait
time.
A minute. You're talking about from the. It doesn't have to be from the 23 yard line.
That was the situation. That's what we're talking about.
It's fourth and one. It doesn't matter from where it is. Oh, for crying out loud.
Next time,
thank
time
you, well
you can,
said.
You
it's
can
unbelievable.
Avoid, you can avoid the 10 minutes that you took yelling at me and Andy by listening to the question. I asked if he would do it in that situation. You didn't have to create
and
your
I
own.
And I said no.
You didn't have to create your
and
own
I, and I said no. You don't even – I said no.
I understand that. And then you said, well, maybe if the
but
end
what
of the
he was preparing them for was getting a first down, getting that 1 yard they need.
Right.
And then I get
yes.
and then I get this
but
no
we,
they're not.
We just
they wouldn't do that.
We just
it's just like
we just disagree with your situation,
right.
That's all. Far be it from Andy and I to disagree.
Unbelievable.
We don't think it's the same situation that you're talking about, that's all. Far be it for anybody to disagree with you. You can move on.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
16-0.
So, you know, once again,
Eddie
Bill.
In the booth now. 16-0.
What else are we talking about? What?
Well, Samuel came back. You might want to touch on that.
That's nice.
Why Felger didn't? He had a real radio show.
I was kind of going.
You might want to bring up.
I was kind of going in chronological order. I wanted to take care of the game on Friday and then move on to the events of this week. Which,
but I do think the game was absolutely dominant. I think that was as good a performance in the preseason. I mean, I don't want to get lost in preseason, but as good a performance as you're going to get in the summer.
And
for that
no Richard Seymour
the third game.
No,
yeah, they're
Todd
not even
Warren.
Playing with three of their best players.
Two of the front seven.
I think a huge leap from last year so far from what we've seen. Lakeven Smith.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, doing a good
job.
You
know who else has been playing pretty well? I mean, he's a good player to begin with, but I think Jarvis Green has had a good preseason.
Yeah. Yeah.
We should go the other side a little bit. Cost. Mike Richardson goes on IR, got hurt in the game. Eugene Wilson has not been practicing. Both those guys were involved with the long touchdown. I don't know if Richardson got hurt on that play, but Wilson looked like he pulled up a little lame and then didn't play afterwards, hasn't practiced since. So that might be an issue to keep an eye on as he...
Yeah, Richardson did play after that. After that score, so his injury came sometime.
I think it was in the second half.
Later on, yeah.
So that's too bad. It looked like he might have made the team. Who knows? You know.
I think with Samuel back, he was probably ticketed to the practice squad, but he had a shot.
Right.
He had
shot. This might be the best thing for him.
This is basically redshirting him.
I think no matter what, he was coming back.
He's going on IR
what. I mean, he was either going on the practice. I don't think they were going to let him go. I don't think they were just going to release him. Let's put it that way. I think he was either going to be in the practice squad or, like Fred said, you know, one of those last spots I think he might have grabbed.
And you mentioned Eugene Wilson. Asante Rodney Harrison was also not at practice yesterday. Don't know why, but just something to keep an eye on.
I'm going with he's just old and needed a day off.
Yeah, maybe.
He's not
going
to play this week, so why practice him? Wilson, I'm a little more concerned about because he
gets
hurt every year
and we saw him
has leg issues, has groin issues from the past, needed to have a bounce back year.
And we kind of try to dance around it and everything, but like I said to Felger, since I've been here, like if you didn't count before I started working here, since I started working here, he can't play. I'm sorry, he can't. I haven't seen anything from him that would tell me he can play. Now, I know you guys saw him.
I don't know
when
if I'd say can't play,
I disagree,
but he's had a serious fall off. And now he's gone down.
I don't think he's done anything since I've been here. Nothing.
Oh, I think
can't
he's
tackle,
doing
can't
okay.
cover.
See,
I
disagree with that. I don't think he's played as well the last couple of years as he did the first two, but I don't think he's a bad tackler. I don't think that he's been that bad a player.
When he's healthy,
I think he hasn't been healthy. He hasn't been on the field.
And he hasn't made impact.
That's why I say I think there's been a definite drop-off in his play from those first 2 years. I'm not saying that. But
I definitely think Rodney makes him better.
I think he's a better player than Artrell Hawkins
when Rodney wasn't out there.
Well, Rodney makes all the D-backs better when he's out there.
You know, so I think that's part of it.
I think he's better than Artrell Hawkins, and Artrell Hawkins was cut.
But Artrell Hawkins played a lot the last 2 years, and everybody was raving about him.
Right.
Eugene Wilson didn't play a lot the last 2 years, and everybody was trashing him because he had dropped off from a higher level. That's the only point I was trying to make.
Any chance, you know, I know most of the starters will not play in this game, but do you think Maroney might use it as another couple more reps?
I don't
know. I would think not based on Bill's past. You know, it's usually, how does he put it, Andy?
The two groups of players.
Right.
One group of players plays a lot in the third game. A different group plays a lot in the fourth.
Right. That way,
and as I like to say, the third game, they're called your team, your roster, your starters. The fourth, they're called the guys you're going to cut on Saturday.
And you know, obviously, Bill's line of thinking is that way absolutely everybody associated with the Patriots right now has a large game action under their belt in preparation for the regular season. But Andy's right. I mean, let's face it. The majority of the guys that we see tomorrow night probably aren't going to be here.
It's probably like 30-something guys who won't play much, and then there's the bottom of the roster just for numbers. You don't have enough to truly go.
They got to let 23 guys go, right?
76 down to 53?
Yeah.
23.
Yep.
23 guys either going to
make moves.
Yeah, they're going to
that's
like what
they did yesterday.
Right. They're either going to be put on lists or they're going to be
And eight of those guys
released.
Might be back the next day anyway on the practice squad.
That's right.
So I think all of those, I mean, there's 23 guys probably out of those. There's two more on PUP, right? So
on active PUP.
That's 21 guys.
Is there any limit to those lists? Like,
that I'm aware of.
No? All right.
You gotta pay them.
Just so we clear this up, because it's a little confusing to me. The difference between active PUP and reserve PUP.
Reserve PUP, you're out for the first 6 weeks.
Right.
Period. You can't come back any sooner.
Right.
And as Bill always says, there are two lists, active and reserve. Reserve means you're not really – you don't count towards the 53. You're not on the active roster.
Active.
Active. These guys have been counting towards the 80-man limit. So that's your active roster right
now. And they can be activated at any time. Mm-hmm. But once they get activated, they no longer can go on PUP.
Reserve.
Okay. And so – can you start the season on an active PUP list?
No.
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 Then you'd be on the roster.
Once
training camp is over, well, once the September 1st deadline comes, I shouldn't just say when training camp is over, once Saturday comes, you either have to go from active to reserve PUP or some sort of list.
It wouldn't be called a list, basically. You'd be on the 53-man roster, and you'd be inactive for a few games.
And I think that's the part that I think is a little bit, you know, because I saw some emails, I think it's important to note that that active PUP list, the one that Seymour was on,
is.
Goes away once the season starts. Then you have to make a decision. Either he's on the roster or he's not.
Or he's not.
You know?
And if he is and he's hurt week one, they'll just make him inactive.
Right.
Right. Exactly. So,
what's going on with him? Anyone really heard anything, Seymour?
I haven't heard anything at all about Seymour.
You know, the only thing
David
we know
Thomas is a guy that he could be in that
mid-range.
Yeah, you know, we saw him working out in Carolina. We probably should have mentioned that too. He went to Carolina with the team and worked out a lot before the game. Maybe he's close but not quite ready. And like Tom says, you know, you put him on the active 53, but maybe the first two games he's inactive. And then he's ready to go week three. So you don't want to put him on reserve PUP and lose him for 6 weeks because he doesn't need 6 weeks. And that's, you know, Bill talked about that in depth yesterday in terms of, you know, the kind of juggling that you have to do in managing and massaging your roster. You have to try to make those determinations.
And you think he's definitely one of those guys because they would have put him on PUP.
Right. But the only thing that bothers me with Seymour is, you know, from what I've heard, he's been on EEI couple times, 2 weeks in a row now. And what he's saying is, you know, I just want to get out. I don't want to get out there until I can be dominant. And I'm
Paul?
I'm not there yet.
We have to go back to 2005.
You know, and I'm not there yet. And, you know, I'm working towards that. And, you know, I know it's hard to tell where a guy is from what he's saying on the radio. But to me, those aren't the words of a guy who might be back this week or next week.
But the only thing I'll say is one of the last days of camp, when we were out there, and I believe it was one of those young guy practices, inexperienced guys where the vets were gone, the trainers were working out with Kyle Brady and Richard Seymour, and they were doing some pretty strenuous running. They had him latched up to those harnesses and pulling on them, and Kyle Brady's back now, so at some point they were in similar physical cases. That's sort of led me to believe that Seymour could come back at any time. Now, it hasn't happened yet, and I kind of felt the same way about Troy Brown, and he's on PUP, but I still think he's going to be on the active roster, whether he has to be a week inactive or he's not quite ready.
I don't think there's any chance that Seymour opens on reserve PUP unless there's some injury that just nobody has heard a thing about. And I don't think there's any signs of that.
You mean in addition to the knee thing?
Right.
Yeah, something a lot more serious.
Yeah, I just think he's a lock to be on the active roster.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, that's good.
Yes, it is.
now I agree with you, Fred. We're all friends now.
What about Ty Warren? Should we be concerned that we haven't seen him since he left the game against Tennessee?
Well, he wasn't. He has been at practice. They just held him out of the Carolina game, but he was back at practice, full pads.
Full pads.
Yeah. So okay. I don't think we should really worry too much about him.
Okay, that's good.
And he got some work in.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on from the game. Let's move over to Asante Samuel, back in the fold, apparently very happy, loves the team, loves the fans, loves life, and making $7.79 million, what's not to love?
Right.
This obviously is a huge lift for the defensive backfield. I mean, this now adds the kind of depth that we thought going in.
It allows everybody to sort of fall into their roles. Yeah. Now Gay is your nickelback.
Right.
Merriweather, you're not counting on maybe is for as much of an immediate impact. And you have a guy who's coming off a great year to, even if he's limited in week one or two, eventually I expect him to be the clear-cut team's number one corner.
Yeah, and a bit of a silver lining was Gay got to get a lot of work with the first team and played pretty well in the preseason. So I think his confidence might be back up after.
I think Randall Gay's had a very good preseason.
So now you make him your third
Absolutely.
Corner. That's three pretty good corners.
Right. Three very good corners. And in this league, you can't have enough good corners.
Three very good corners.
I would say so.
Are they really? Because Ellis Hobbs, I'm not sure, is a very good corner.
Well,
I'm not sure Randall Gay is a very good corner.
I know Randall
corner.
Plays the other side, but could Randall Gay take over the number two spot from Ellis Hobbs?
I don't think so.
You guys think more of Gay than I do.
Well,
a minute ago, Ellis Hobbs was a very good corner.
I think he's had a very good camp.
Right, and Hobbs has played well, too.
Jackpot.
It's not like Hobbs has been getting beat left and right. I don't remember Hobbs getting beat at all.
I don't know. Maybe just because we've seen it more this preseason, but going downfield, you know, stride for stride with a guy going long, I think Gay is a better suited for that.
I don't think he has as much speed.
I saw Steve Smith running by him like he was standing still, and the ball was over.
That was the one. You know, I don't want to be the negative because I think, like I said,
you're the
dominant.
Only objective one here, so you have to be negative.
Oh, shut up. I think that, you know, like I said, dominant, but there were a lot of drop balls, especially early in the game.
Yeah, but those are short passes, right?
But they would have been first downs.
No, I know.
So that changes the complexion, you know, of, you know, how you looked at the offense. In other words, I think the defense, The first defense was on the field something like eight series, and they forced four three and outs. Well, at least two of them, maybe three, wouldn't have been three and outs. If guy, you know, by no fault, you know, by nothing that the Patriots defense did, just a guy just dropping the ball.
Just right. Drop balls. Yeah.
So I kind of agree with Tom on that. I think Hobbs has been okay, but Gay, I think, has had a great camp too. But I don't think that they're necessarily going to confuse you with these shutdown cover corners that, you know, and I don't think there are a lot of those guys out there. Let's be frank. Champ Bailey's probably the only one. But, you know, I think they're good. But I'm not ready to say they have.
They're
you
not shut down corners.
This well, you know, embarrassment of riches at cornerback.
No, but the sum total may be better than the individual.
Oh yeah,
that's I mean, the Patriots, have that kind that's of, the Patriots yeah. way
to kind of have that depth, you
right?
Because that's where teams, you know, you wonder how can these teams? It's third and 11. Why are they converting first downs? It's because the depth of teams, you know, when it comes to those situations, isn't that good.
What are you
good?
Laughing at over there?
I just find it so funny. Tom says there are three pretty good corners. Fred goes, three very good corners. Eric goes, the sum total might be better than the sum. Oh, yeah. Like everything Fred it takes it to the next level. If you say something positive, he's got to take it one step more positive.
Yeah. Well, I'm with Tom. I think that they're good, but I'm not ready to, you know, get lost with it.
Right. I mean, Randall Gay is what he is. I think he's a pretty good NFL
pretty
corner.
Good. I think they're in pretty good shape
he
right now.
He was miscast when he was going to have to start.
Don't you think, Fred?
And now he's good.
Fred's getting frustrated. I'm sorry to laugh, but he's just getting. You guys are really getting to him today. You're getting to him.
Why are you so sensitive today?
Yeah, you just have to bow at Fred's feet.
Well, you know, if they win 14 games this year, it's because you know they don't have a lot of depth.
Because they have the best coach in football.
They're okay.
Pretty good quarterback too.
Because they had the best coach in football.
Yeah, he plays the nickel, right? Tom Brady's out there, and when they go with the nickel, the dime, Brady comes out there.
The coach does that.
Yeah. Okay. You know, it's one thing to be objective. It's another thing to just try to be so objective that you don't give the Patriots their due.
That I don't call Randall Gay a starting shutdown corner in the National Football League.
And who did?
You.
You said three very good corners.
You called him a very good corner.
Okay, is that a starting shutdown corner in the National Football League?
I thought you were Mr. High Standards. To get in the Hall of Fame, there's very limited number. I thought very good meant something.
And where is the not objective or somehow derogatory?
What is very good
to say they have a great coach?
Very in terms relative to this league, Randall Gay is probably a very good nickel corner in this league. I'd say that most teams would like to have that kind of depth behind an Ellis Hobbs and an Asante Samuel.
Then you do think a little more of. I love Randall Gay, but I think you place him a little higher on the.
From what I've seen this preseason, what we had saw flashes of in the past before he had his injury streak. You know, He's pretty solid. I don't think a lot of teams go
pretty
three.
Pretty solid or very good.
I don't think it's a lot.
It's getting worse as the time goes by.
I don't think a lot of teams go that deep in cornerbacks. It's just tough in this league. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's tough to have that kind of depth. So, I don't.
I just think the coach is pretty good. You obviously don't agree. So,
okay,
we'll go on with that.
All right. So, you know, in other words, that's the way we solve this is just say things that just aren't true and then go on from there. That's good.
Well, can you explain to me how I was derogatory?
Paul, I'm glad you don't do this in all your other stints, Paul, because you wouldn't last long.
He doesn't let you talk.
That's why people call him unplugged on other
I'm glad you don't do this on Fox and EI and all your other things because they wouldn't have you because
can I just ask you one serious question?
What is this guy talking about?
Can I ask you one?
Fred Kirsch pays him? I can't believe it. I mean, what is this guy doing?
Can anybody talk besides you on the show?
He doesn't even have a custom-made suit.
Can anybody besides you talk on this show?
Well, I'll try, you know, making up for lost time. Go ahead.
Lost time? You've been yapping since we started.
All right.
You've been wound up today.
Yeah. You're like me on a normal day. You're very wound up today.
All right. Go.
Can I just ask you one question?
I haven't eaten, and I'm staring at a pile of
Before
Papagino
we go to break,
food.
One question.
What?
Can you explain to me how it's derogatory that I said they have the best coach in football?
That is
you said
not derogatory.
Somehow I was, you know, demeaning the rest of the team.
Well,
but
I mean,
I didn't mean that.
I think that's a given.
All I said was I think that's – but you're saying when they win all these games and
wait
I say
wait,
it's
whoa,
because
whoa,
they
whoa,
have
whoa.
A great coach.
Two hours ago I was up in your office and you were telling me how he wasn't such a good coach in Cleveland.
Well, he wasn't.
Why?
I have no idea. Maybe he has developed some different game planning tactics.
Maybe he didn't have as good enough personnel.
I'm an intelligent man, but I can't speak intelligently about the game plans of the Cleveland Browns from 91 to 95.
Maybe there are other factors. Maybe you just can't do it with a coach alone, even if you are the greatest coach that ever coached.
As long as we have that down. But just explain to me how that was derogatory about the team. That's the only thing I was wondering.
Well, we weren't talking about the coach.
But you asked how they were going to win all those games, and I said I think they have the best coach in football. And you said that was a shock.
And that's it?
Yes. I think that's why they win as much as they do.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, why didn't they win?
I think they have good players.
They had the best coach last year. They didn't win the Super Bowl.
But they won a lot of games.
But they didn't win the Super Bowl.
Well, they might not win it this year either.
I thought that's the goal, is winning the Super Bowl.
That is the
goal. It takes more. And you know that.
So what if they don't win the Super Bowl?
Another silly argument where Paul is just, you know, on the road, just flailing away, throwing haymakers.
This is just unbelievable how wound up he is today. And he just absolutely refuses to let anybody talk.
Tom's giving up. He's already dug into it.
I just want to eat.
All right. We're going to have more arguments. Hopefully not. We have a lot of emails. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. We'll be right back.
The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
The rush got to be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition Goal Line Guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren?
He's got to be sacked for the safety.
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points card and free Goal Line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
Roosevelt Colvin, wow!
Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autograph poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Hey, this is Hall of Famer John Hanna. Let me tell you about the first ever Game with the Greats. Have you ever wondered what former football players talk about when we're watching the game? Well, now you can find out for yourself at the first ever Game with the Greats. On October 14th at Gillette Stadium, watch the Patriots take on the Cowboys in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, along with me, a bunch of my teammates, and other Patriot alumni. Guys like Andre Tippett, Steve Nelson, Steve Grogan, and Pete Brock will be there with you to enjoy the game and just hang out. Tickets are limited because they're only $25. Visit the Patriots.com homepage and click on alumni for more information. We're all going to be at the Game with the Greats. Where will you be?
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Miles and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Ronaldinho, Kaká y las estrellas brasileñas en Foxboro, fútbol internacional en...
For the first time ever, Mexico and Brazil, two of the world's best soccer teams, clash in Foxboro. Wednesday, September 12th, Gillette Stadium, your home for world-class soccer, hosts Ronaldinho, Kaká, Robinho, and the rest of the Brazilian national team, taking on a Mexican team featuring Castillo, Cavanas, and Guardado. Tickets for this historic match start at just $30 and are going fast, so get yours now. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222. Passionate rivalries.
Hi, this is Taylor Twellman from your New England Revolution. Learn to play like the pros at Revolution Academy.
Oh, what a strike by Taylor Twellman!
The Revolution Academy is now enrolling for the 2007 season and has designed innovative, challenging, and skill-specific curriculums for all age groups. Tomorrow's soccer stars will learn how to develop their game, see how the pros practice, and even get tickets to a Revolution match. By the end of the program, you have learned the skills to play like a pro.
Twellman takes a touch. Taylor Twellman on frame, and in! Taylor Twellman! Twellman it's
the Revolution Academy is coming to Cranston, Rhode Island, Westwood, Old Orchard Beach, Maine, Waterville, Maine, Westwood, Sudbury, Bridgewater, Beverly, Norwell, Northboro, Foxboro, Swansea, Somerset, Westford, Tewksbury, and Smithfield, Rhode Island. To find a session in a town near you or to register, call 508-384-9242. That's 508-384-9242. Or log on to revolutionsoccer.net and score a goal with the Revolution Academy.
Gary, I was just wondering, do we have sponsor obligations now on this show? Do we have to fill a certain amount of spots?
I think we have to say Papa Gino's five times per show.
Five times per show? Okay. So the answer is no. Not yet.
No, the new sponsor commitments will begin on our regular schedule.
On our regular schedule, which is September 4th, right? The week after, okay. September 11th.
I forgot.
Okay. What's up?
No, I was having a conversation with Paul.
On air?
Well, one of them was
radio,
on air.
Eric. Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I didn't know that you were the only one allowed to have side conversations on the air.
Well, that's the way radio works, is one guy talks and you guys listen.
Certainly the way PFW in Progress works.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Email address. Phone number is 508-543-7482. What else? Sante Samuel. We talked about him. Conflicting reports. John Tomasi wrote yesterday that it was just a straight franchise contract and that there was no clause about not signing him as a franchise player next year. But that was contradicted today by the Boston Globe, Mike Reese.
And it was reported yesterday by the NFL Network.
Writing that, in fact, there was a clause in the franchise contract that the Patriots agreed not to franchise him in OA.
Adam Schefter came out with that yesterday afternoon. And then it was...
Well, he probably got it from the Globe.
No.
No, he was first, Fred.
Not sure you know how the Globe works.
I'm only kidding.
They read stuff and then report it.
Adam Schefter...
Was I good? I didn't take the bait on that one.
Adam Schefter is apparently on payroll now because that guy's got Patriots news every five seconds on the NFL
Network. Did he elbow you out? Is he the extra craft now?
No, he is, I think, emerged as the number one source for inside news in the NFL.
Well,
I think he's surpassed
Peter King,
and I think he's surpassed Chris Mortensen.
I think he probably has.
And I think that helps that he works for the league.
And I'm glad. Accurate.
Well, you know what? That's one. And I think that, too, I'm glad that Tom brought that up because it would be unfair not to credit him. He has been at the forefront of every step of the way of this Samuel thing.
Yes.
He had the original disgruntled comments during the summer or the late spring when Samuel first threatened to hold out for 10 weeks. He had him coming back. He had when he was coming back. He had the stipulation in the contract about not franchising him. He's had every step of the way. He's been first, and all the local media, us included, will throw ourselves in this mix. He's been out in front of all of us.
Yeah.
And it's been accurate every step of the way.
And it's accurate going back to when he said that Art Shell would get fired, and the Raiders came right out and said he's crazy, and then he got fired, you know? So he even gets teams contradicting themselves. So he's been doing a good job, and I guess, you know, at least, you know, if you're an owner, if you're going to break news, you might as well break it on your league-owned stations. So.
Where you get some money in the end, more people
I liked your first line better.
What?
Team-owned, but, you know, I digress.
Well, it's all team-owned. It's all 32 teams. All right. On the phone is Wayne from Jacksonville. Wayne, I haven't heard from you in a while.
Hi, guys, Ben.
Good.
Wayne.
Well, I've been listening, but just nothing to say yet, waiting for the season. But
thanks
for the call. We'll talk to you then.
Well, I've been listening to your boy there, Felger. Keep saying Randy Moss is a dog about three times this week, and I know he hasn't shown up for practice. He's pulled up lame, whatever the deal is. So he's really beginning to upset me. I mean, is Randy Moss a dog or not?
Yes, but I think he's a dog who wants to win this year and is happy to be here. Do I think that there's some part of Randy Moss that's still the same as he's always been? Yes, probably. I don't think you just flip a switch overnight, you're a totally different guy. But that doesn't mean I don't believe him that he's hurt. I saw him pull up lame in front of us. I think he's hurt.
Yeah,
I know he is. And the thing about Felger is you got to understand, the guy is trying to make waves. You know, he's on a fledgling station. You know, the only thing he can do right now is be controversial. So he's going to take the anti-Patriot stance right now. to make some waves. It's good radio. You know, you love him or hate
him. But I will agree with Andy that I think Moss is probably the same guy inside, but I don't think this has anything to do with the injury.
I don't think there's any question about it.
We were at training camp. We saw the play. We saw him going out after the pass. He was running full speed.
And we all said that was weird.
Yeah, and then we saw him hobble off holding his hamstring. So if that was just a I don't want to practice anymore, he's a better actor than he is a football player, in my opinion.
And if this happened just sort of in between games or at some point where we didn't see anything and we just heard about it, then I might feel differently.
Yeah.
I might say, oh, is this the old Moss popping up? But it happened in front of us.
He's injured,
yeah.
Right?
He's hurt.
We saw it.
Yeah, we saw him go to the trainer. We saw him get ice. We saw him talk to Bill. We saw Bill tell him to get off the field and go to the locker
room.
First week of training camp.
Could he have been back sooner? I don't know that
I think
answer.
He could have. I don't think
maybe.
We also don't know whether
he said, I don't want to come back, or Bill said, why would I bring you back? I already saw 6 days of practice that showed me you're the best player on this team in terms of natural ability,
I'm
and I want you when the season starts.
Right.
Well, Felberg, he's really chapping me, man.
Well, you know, I wasn't.
He does that to people.
I was. Well, I think
that's why Felger's saying he's a dog, though, in Felger's defense.
Wayne, you should listen to this email. I wasn't going to read it today because it's about Mike Felger, but I figured this is a good segue into that. This is from John in L.A. Thanks for the call, Wayne. He says, first of all, the subject is Mike Felger, asshat. First of all, can we all just take a moment to reflect on the unbridled humiliation that is Mike Felger's transparent, frantic homily on the evils of all things Randy Moss? Tell us, Felgie. What's it like to wear a plaid miniskirt, saddle shoes, you frantic little breathless cheesehead? Mike Felger, paranoid, bleeding about Randy Moss's balky hamstring, begs the question, do you come with a free sundress, turquoise jellies, and an incessant need to stay on the phone? Or rather, it would beg that question, except I'm too distracted now by yet another question. So then he gets into a whole bunch of other stuff. But I just thought, and he ends it up, we know Felgie, we know you've got your heart set on cashing in on the mantle of alpha male frat boy. Mission accomplished, asshat. PFW guys, please, more you, less him. And for Felger, a heartfelt P.S., I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Hey, that's that line that I thought of when the South Carolina chick gave her answer.
So, yeah, we had a lot of anti-Felger emails.
How does everybody hate him, and yet he's still so damn popular?
Because
people hate him.
I think he's pretty good on radio.
Give me a break.
I think he's a good radio talent. He thinks quick on his feet.
I am not Ted Sarandon.
He throws things out there. He's not afraid to throw things out there. And that's what
people really watch because they hate him.
Is it possible?
I hate Stephen A. Smith, and when I see him on ESPN, I change the channel.
No, they do, though, because sometimes when you hate something so much, you have to listen or read just so you can
make fun of him.
You can't turn away. It's like an accident.
It's like an accident. All right. His
is
whole
it possible
career.
To have a
just think how many
for
people
a short period of time and then have it not collapse?
Just think how many people hate Borges, right? And if me, you, and Borges all wrote the same exact article, everybody would read Borges's, and nobody would read ours because they have to see what he's saying.
You have to see what he's saying. Yeah.
So that's kind of a talent.
It is. Yeah. So I give it to him there, but I understand where he's coming from. I don't take much of what he says.
But the other thing, too, though, is I don't agree with Felger, and I think he's wrong here. But everyone else is just blindly accepting Randy Moss. Like, isn't there a couple Patriot fans that are at least a little bit concerned? Because Felger does bring up a point. He didn't like to practice anywhere else. I don't think that's going on here, but you would think there'd be one or two Patriot fans that would be
maybe they're listening to us.
If that was the case, would this team tolerate that?
I think right now they'd have to.
Why? I mean, they've got a pretty good stable of receivers right now.
They don't have Randy. Listen.
No, they don't.
A pretty good stable of receivers and Randy Moss are two different
but
things.
So, they must think that they're going to get something out of him this year.
Yeah, I don't think what Felger is saying is true. All I'm asking is, you know, you don't hear any of the fans really wondering, is Randy Moss, that they're just seeming to buy it when he was indeed a dog for most of his career.
And, well, Belichick did say on the radio the other day that Moss is close.
Right.
And he was asked about that in the press conference yesterday, and of course he went back to the
day-to-day.
Yeah, but, I mean, the fact that he came out and said he's close, he's close.
I'd be shocked if he wasn't playing in the Jet game, wouldn't you guys? Don't you think he's going to be there?
I think my prediction is Seymour and Moss will not play in the Jets game.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd be shocked.
They'll be inactive for those games. San Diego?
Yeah.
So they'll be back week two?
They'll be back week two.
I agree with exactly how Tom put it. I would be shocked if Moss isn't in the lineup for the opener.
Okay. It's just a feeling I have. I'm not basing it on any inside information. I haven't seen any X-rays or anything like that.
Well, then how do you know they need one more week?
I just have a feeling.
Well, you know? And that's part of it too. Like you were saying, do you think the team would put up with that? Well, it's a hamstring injury. So what exactly could the team do? If let's just say for argument's sake, and again, I agree with that.
Nothing. Didn't we learn that lesson with 83 or whatever number, 88, whatever number Terry Glenn wore here?
A lot of people, though, even, you know.
Can't prove it.
You can't prove.
Poole, didn't Poole have a hamstring?
But that's the guy I wanted to say is Tyrone Poole had a knee injury that obviously the team was unhappy with how long it was taking him to get back. They were kind of calling him out.
And he was a dog.
He didn't like it. They were calling him a dog. What did they do about it? Nothing. You can't do it. What are you going to do about it?
I mean, Moss they could cut.
But I'm saying, they're not going to cut Moss.
Right.
Because you can't be sure that the guy, you know, when you're dealing with another person's body, you can't be sure how it feels. And some guys, you know, they get criticized in the NFL and all sports, really, you know, because some guys have that reputation. They have to be 100% to play, you know. And we've heard people talk about Benjamin Watson like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a big guy, but he has to be perfect to, you know, to get out there on the field. We've heard people talk like that. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that kind of talk is fair. I'm not saying that I think everybody's the same, but I think it's hard to get into that game where you're questioning how injured somebody is and what kind of threshold that person has to play. I think that's an individual choice. Now, I'm sure there are examples of guys being dogs, and I think Moss has been a dog in the past.
But that's what I was going to say. Generally, there's a resume or a history that, you know, a one guy, a Troy Brown, you believe him when he says something, whereas when a Moss or a guy who has a track record the other way, you go, maybe I don't really believe
it. It's just
him.
A tough road to right. kind of, you know, slip down because I just think that, you know, for one guy might have the same injury as another, and he might be back in half the time.
But it's the boy who cried wolf. Sooner or later, you ignore the boy who cried wolf.
But like Andy said, if this had happened and we didn't see it, we might be split right now.
I probably would feel differently.
A couple of us may feel like he was. But since we saw it, we all saw it, I don't think any of us have a doubt that he's hurt.
If this is fake, then it's this great. I mean, it's well constructed by him to get some time off.
See, my doubt, that's just why I think that I would be shocked. I don't have a doubt that he got hurt. But I would have a question as to whether or not he could have been back by now. I do have a question on that.
He's old.
That's why I'd be surprised if he's not ready for the Open.
If it were the regular season, he probably would have been back by now.
That's how I feel about it, Eric. I agree. And you know, I have, again, like Fred said, I have nothing to base that on. No one's told me that. I haven't seen any x-rays, as you put it. But, I mean, I'm just...
But we have
that was
seen
a long time
really
ago.
X-ray a hamstring, can you?
That was August 1st.
I'd go MRI there.
But we have seen him walking throughout the locker room a few times. And
based on that,
if this were the regular season, he probably would have.
But I mean,
would have been back.
I know
that
you can have a pulled hamstring and walk without a limp.
Sure,
right. But
he has spent a lot of time during media period, which is also training room period, playing dominoes. And if he had this severe injury, that was they would be doing everything they possibly could with ultrasound and ice and heat. And I think he would be spending more time in that room than at the domino.
And
table.
That's why I fall with how you guys explained it. My guess is that. You know, he and Bill got together. They talked. They said, look, this is what happened. This is where we're at. You know, maybe a week later, you know, I feel pretty good. And Bill, you know, may have just said, in consulting with Jim Whalen and the rest of the training staff,
we don't want
you know,
this to linger.
We know what he can do. Yeah. The guy's legs are his livelihood. He's has a history of leg problems. Let's err on the side of caution. These games don't mean anything. We liked what we saw with him and Brady. It's not like he hasn't caught any passes from Brady.
And for all we know, he's catching passes after the 10 minutes that they're there, running full speed down the field.
And what do you gain? What do you gain by having him suit up for preseason games? Nothing. Or very little.
You know what he can do.
You know, it's not a rookie here. This is a guy who's been around the league. He's had a whole spring into the early part of the summer with Brady. It's not like Doug Gabriel coming in cold, a guy who really didn't play that much.
By the way, he just got cut again.
Yeah. I wonder whose fault that was.
What do you mean?
Well, I know he was kind of critical of, you know, his not knowing exactly what they expected of him and whatnot.
Oh.
Catch the ball.
All right. Awesome. Yeah. Don't run out of bounds. Gain from North Yarmouth, Maine, writes in. His subject is Enrique Scalavino is the man, he says. Hey, guys, love the show. Despite his attitude towards listeners, I think that Eric is pretty cool. I've been getting really excited for this football season. I have a couple questions. First, how many touchdowns do you think Brady will have this year? How many for Maroney and Moss? And second, how many interceptions will Samuel have? And last, is anyone on the Patriots defense a future Hall of Famer?
Okay. 37 touchdowns for Brady. 11 for Maroney.
Okay. How many interceptions for
10
Samuel?
10 for Moss.
Yeah.
And 4 interceptions for Samuel.
Okay, there you go.
I'm going to go the under on Brady.
25 to 30.
37, you said?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going the under on that. Moss, I think, is about right if he's healthy. Maroney, I would have taken the over, but now I'm a little I'm just unclear because he hasn't played enough in the preseason. It does look like they have Sammy Morris and Heath Evans in line for this goal line stuff, so I'm thinking he might lose some touchdowns. But going in, I thought 15.
Ooh.
Maroney,
really?
I just don't see why you take him on. I go with Tom's theory on this.
Okay, though, very good. Maroney, questionable.
I'm going to say 9 for Maroney.
I go with Tom's theory on this. In that, and I forget exactly how you put it, but you know it's pretty simple. I mean, you know, Maroney can't run a yard.
Yeah, I just think that Maroney could run the same yard that Heath Evans does because I think Maroney has much more talent than Heath Evans.
I'd rather have my better back
carrying
the ball on the goal line. You know, it's not like they have a truck like Dylan to bring in, and you can make an argument. Well, Dylan is a better goal line back, and I think you'd be right. I don't think Morris or Heath Evans is a better goal line back than Maroney is.
No, but to be fair, Maroney wasn't in those first two preseason
games.
That's
what I'm saying. I don't know. So. I don't know because I haven't seen enough. That's I'm a little concerned about that. But I would say 15 if he takes the full load.
And future Hall of Famers on the defense.
I'm saying 9.
You can
for
make
Maroney.
That out of anything. You're off.
How many future Hall of Famers?
Well, you got at
Junior
Seau.
As Gary points out.
Fraudulent ones.
Well, that's at least one.
Yeah, I know. But he's not a future Hall of Famer for the Patriots.
No,
defense.
But he's on this defense.
I'm not sure there's. I'm not sure there are any others.
I would say
Seymour would be the guy.
Seymour would
on
have
course.
A shot, but I don't think based on his last year.
Yeah, but Kylaw make it.
Seymour's got a tough road. You look at some of these defensive ends that aren't in the Hall of Fame yet, and they were great players.
No, that's true.
And Seymour at his best. Is not a huge sack guy.
That's right.
He doesn't get a lot of sacks.
But I think what could put him over, and I don't know what those guys have for all pro. I mean, he's well on the way to having 10 potential
he's
Pro Bowls, 8 all pros.
So I think he's going to be in the mix, but does he get in? Because he's going to be fighting up some of these other guys.
I think those things sway people a lot. If they can list,
especially,
this guy was a 10-time Pro
especially
Bowler.
Especially all pro.
Yeah.
Especially all pro. That
I think he's got so
weight.
Many early in his career that there's a chance he has those little bullet points that voters go, wow, I didn't remember that.
He's going to have to keep it up for the next 4 or 5 years.
Based on last year, no.
Yeah, he may not be first ballot, but he, you know, probably get in within the first 2-3 years.
Okay.
That
answers
that.
Pro bowler on
Randall
defense.
Gay. Hall
of Famer. Not Pro Bowler. Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
What's up, Paul Perillo?
Yeah, I think right now the only
Rodney's
guy.
Rodney's got a shot, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so.
If he had a great year this year and they win, maybe. If he comes out and has like 4
right
picks,
now I would say no way.
5 sacks,
see, I would say no.
And boosts that. Those numbers he's got.
Because they just don't put safeties in the Hall of Fame for some reason. You have to be Lott or Larry Wilson.
He might ride this little wave if they won a Super Bowl and he had a big year.
Yeah,
usually the safeties that get consideration were corners who finish
then you,
at safeties.
Then you spin the tale that, well, when Rodney Harrison was healthy in this run here, they won the Super Bowl. When he wasn't, they didn't. The defense, you could spin it.
I'd say right now the only guy that I think has a shot is Seymour. That's the only guy.
Well, we'll have to see what Adalis Thomas does, too, because there's a lot of hype about him.
Yeah,
yeah
well,
he doesn't
he's
have a 30. Chance.
He's going to be 30, right?
Yeah, too old.
Oh, yeah.
Got too
we'll
late
see.
To start.
Well, maybe.
Up until this year, in my mind, he was a freaking special teamer.
Ravi,
luckily for him, you're not on the Hall of Fame committee.
Ravi from Indy,
yeah, but there's a lot of idiots like
or
me
in the front office.
That's true.
Is it really a good idea to keep a third quarterback on the final roster? I really like Vinny, and one of my favorite moments last season was when he threw a TD against the Titans. But from a depth standpoint,
that was one of your favorite moments.
It seems
I have
like
150 on higher than that on the
1,000.
It seems like it'd make a lot more sense to retain someone like Rashay Caldwell or Torrey James in case injuries strike. Let me know what you think. Also, he says, you guys keep arguing about whether 2-0 or 0-2 is more likely at the beginning of the season. And from a mathematical standpoint, it's obvious that 2-0 is more likely. Think of it this way. If you think that there's a higher chance that the Pats will beat the
from
Jets,
a mathematical
then
standpoint,
the chance the Pats
it's
will
the
lose
exact
to the
same,
Chargers,
I believe.
Then you think that 2-0 is more likely, according to the probabilities.
You idiot.
No, he makes the point. He's right. It's
no, he's not.
Fred.
He might be right in your little argument, but mathematically he's wrong.
Fred, you and I both think they're going to go 2-0, but would you not admit that mathematically?
It's even.
It's kind of hard to make that argument.
It was my understanding that there would be no math.
Let's see. Louis writes that I'm in favor of having... Well, we didn't get to his first question or topic.
What was
what
it?
Was that?
Which was?
I was too busy watching Andy yell at the guy.
What was his first half of that email?
I don't know.
based on the second half, it was not good.
The three quarterbacks. Do you think it's a waste? Would you rather have a guy like Torrey James or Rishay Caldwell?
You kind of have to have three quarterbacks.
I think those guys are more proven talents at their position. But
I would rather have two quarterbacks and an extra defensive back. I don't think Rishay Caldwell is worth it.
Especially if you have a quarterback who you can call any time and is willing to do whatever you tell him to, like practice without a contract.
I kind of like the trend that seemed to be developing last year with six, not seven, him. Eight teams only having two quarterbacks. I really don't think you need a third one until you get an injury.
And if you throw, and if two wide receivers go down, you can throw a tight end or a running back out there to catch passes. It's a lot harder to put a running back or a wide receiver and a quarterback if two of them
Unless
go
it's
down.
Everett High.
The only time I think three quarterbacks makes sense, say
when
like
you don't have a good one.
Well, like if you had a Tony Romo who you aren't sure about yet, you had a veteran backup in Brad Johnson, and then you had kind of like a third guy who you think might be able to develop into something, then I think it makes sense. But here where you have Brady and then you have Castle who's pretty much set as the backup, what's the third guy going to do?
Yeah, I kind of, you know, last year it was like Pittsburgh, I think, Indy, Denver, New England. There seemed to be like a little trend developing. We'll have to see what happens on Saturday with all the different teams.
I'd certainly rather have, based on theory or philosophy, Gutierrez as the third, because if he's a guy you think can develop and you don't want to lose him, rather than Testaverde, who you're not really losing anything.
Just place a call.
You can release him, and then you can get him whenever you need him. Now,
slip him 100K.
He's not going to sign with anybody else. You know that.
He wants a ring.
I'm told.
So I'll sign him at the end of the year, and he can have a ring.
I'm told that the reason that they like Vinny so much is because he's done a really, really good job of simulating the other team's quarterback during the course of the week. He's been excellent on the scout team.
So make him a coach.
Make him your quarterback coach and have him do that.
But in terms of doing things, a lot of little subtleties that maybe a guy like Castle can't really pick up with his lack of experience, that he does a good job of, on scout team work.
That's great.
I don't think that's worth having a third quarterback.
It's a game day roster, not a practice day roster.
Yeah, I agree. And I think especially you're taking a spot away from, I would say, a defensive back who is that's a spot that you've really been thin at over the course of the year because you've gotten so many injuries. If that would have happened again, I'd rather have a guy like Torrey James to call upon if he in fact is even on the bubble. Who knows? Than having to go out and call, Hank Poteet or Ray Mickens, like they had in the past. Earthwind Moreland. Those types.
Louis writes in, I'm in favor of having your photos on the website so we fans can get to know your faces. So far, I only know Paul's and Tom's, although I believe Fred looks like Butters and Andy like George Costanza. Am I close?
Hey! That looks like George Costanza.
Who's Butters?
Matt Damon.
South Park character.
I don't know about the Matt Damon thing, but he doesn't look like George Costanza.
Twice from Waitresses.
He doesn't like Costanza. He looks like Costanza with hair.
That's not true either. Not fat.
I just think it's
I'm
funny.
I'm incredible shrinking man.
I think it's funny that you point out constantly those things. Like, I've had people tell me I look like Matt Damon.
Yeah, how many people? One?
Two.
I mean,
two.
I'm not even going to embarrass myself.
Or Lonnie Paxton. I've gotten that a couple times.
I think you look like Matt Damon if like we Lonnie stuck, Paxton. An air hose in his head and blew it up. maybe then.
Good one, Butters.
Like Matt Damon.
Yeah, good one, Butters.
Just
by
kidding.
Curious Butters.
Congratulations on a tremendous work during the offseason. P.S. on a light note, who would you rather have, Bridget or Giselle?
They're
Giselle.
Real and they're
150 times over.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that.
I would take Giselle.
Unless you like 12-year-old boys, you take Giselle.
But I really, I'm not enamored with Giselle either.
I know, but that's stupid. Not what it is.
We're
it's
not
either or.
To go
no,
out with
Giselle, absolutely.
Yeah, either
Giselle,
or.
Absolutely.
God, Paul, I'm not asking you to go out with her.
Paul's got high standards.
I prefaced the whole thing by saying, obviously, both of them are well out of my league.
Well, I don't Giselle, think Bridget Moynihan is.
Mathematically, your chances of getting either one of them are equal, by the way.
Zero.
Exactly.
Wow, Eric the Leg with a big shot.
Well, now he's mad at me. Now Paul's mad at me.
I don't necessarily think that's true.
If he wasn't married,
playing the role of Brian Morey, if I wasn't married with kids, I could show you.
Freddie, you're going to get to see a lot of Giselle on Dancing with the Stars. She's going to be in the next season.
Is that right?
It's going to be a star-studded
I can't wait to see
Mark Cuban. I'm looking forward to him.
Lou
Ferrigno, he's going to be the fan favorite.
I didn't even hear about him. There's a couple of
fan favorite
too.
Lou Ferrigno.
One, two, three.
But people are going to love him because all you do is you set him up with that short-haired girl who can dance. He stands in the middle. She dances around, and people cheer.
He's going to be terrible.
I know.
Absolutely.
But that's why he'll be popular.
That was a great Schwarzenegger impression.
You guys didn't even catch that.
All right.
He did an Arnold for Lou Ferrigno.
One, two, three.
Alex. Well, I don't even know what Lou Ferrigno sounds like.
He talks funny.
He doesn't either.
He has a hearing.
He has a hearing problem. He doesn't really speak.
So he doesn't speak well. So now, not only that, he's
he was on the King of Queens.
A disabled person.
Let's see. Alex writes anyway. In, hello, Fred, Andy, Paul, Tom, and Gary. I think that covers everybody. Just finished watching.
Wow.
Just finished watching an NFL piece on the 86 Giants. Do you know when Bill Belichick joined that team? Did he arrive at the same time with Parcells? Also, who put the championship team together, Ray Perkins or Bill Parcells?
Bill Parcells.
Actually, George Young.
George
Young.
Yeah, right.
But I'm saying he took over just a hideous football team.
It was a bad. They were 3-12 his first year. They were a bad team.
And a lot of people questioned Parcells. They didn't think that he had what it took.
You're right, Fred.
But he turned it around.
He was a hair away from being out.
Yeah.
They were 3-12
Sounds familiar.
And Belichick came in 81, like 82. I think he went to the Giants.
On the Patriots on 80, 1980.
No, Parcells was.
Parcells, I'm sorry.
Belichick, I think, went to New York. Andy will look that up. But I think he may have even gotten there a year before Parcells.
Yeah, I think you might be right there. Yeah.
Coach Belichick.
I think he was on Ray Perkins' staff. And they had a good year, actually, the Giants. Tom, you remember this better because of your Giants background. But I think in 81.
79 Giants.
Yeah.
79. Yeah.
Was their special teams coach for 2 years.
Okay.
So he was there before Parcells.
Yeah. Then linebackers in 81, and then defense in 85.
Okay. Alejandro writes in from Bogota, I've never played a down of football, and I have a couple questions.
You and Eric.
I just hope I don't get ripped by Mr. Hart because they're too basic.
No, Eric's the one who rips people.
One.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, please.
What?
You're not the one who rips people?
Yeah,
you don't rip anybody.
All right, let's get to Alejandro's question.
Sorry, Fred.
One, during the silent count, how do the guards and tackles know when the play is supposed to start?
When they see the ball snap.
This normally would have been, you idiot, from Andy, but now he's playing, close to the vest, kid gloves.
No, not a lineman.
Well, I think every team has their different way of doing their silent count. It's a timing thing.
Right.
You know.
I don't think it's just the ball. It's a one count or a two count after leg thing.
He does something. Brady would do something.
A reset point.
To put them in a set position, and then it's like a one count from there or whatever they happen to do. There is some kind of mechanism they use.
You think there's any linemen that, if you're a good defensive lineman, you can read their lips because they're thinking, go.
What? When a team is running their hurry-up offense, some quarterbacks look toward the sideline with their fingers crossed, kind of asking if they should huddle up. Aren't quarterbacks supposed to know this in advance?
That's a signal.
It's a signal to the team to say to huddle up as much as anything else.
Right.
We're huddling up when they do that with both hands.
Right.
To the receivers, because those guys either
they're
stay way
outside.
Out or have to run in. Right. Or if you're Chad Johnson, when I was watching the game the other night,
right,
he was way out talking to D'Angelo Hall while everybody else was hard.
I've never seen that before.
Carson Palmer was happy.
I don't blame him for not being happy. He would drive you crazy. I mean, I love Chad Johnson.
It's funny for us, but
but he would drive me crazy if I was on his team.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more emails here in PFW in Progress.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mile and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CMS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Hi, this is Taylor Twellman from your New England Revolution. Learn to play like the pros at Revolution Academy.
Oh, what a strike by Taylor Twellman!
The Revolution Academy is now enrolling for the 2007 season and has designed innovative, challenging, and skill-specific curriculums for all age groups. Tomorrow's soccer stars will learn how to develop their game, see how the pros practice, and even get tickets to a Revolution match. By the end of the program, you have learned the skills to play like a pro.
Twellman takes a touch. Taylor Twellman on frame and in! Taylor Taylor Twelman has given
the Revolution Academy is coming to Cranston, Rhode Island, Westwood, Old Orchard Beach, Maine, Waterville, Maine, Westwood, Sudbury, Bridgewater, Beverly, Norwell, Northborough, Foxborough, Swansea, Somerset, Westford, Tewksbury, and Smithfield, Rhode Island. To find a session in a town near you or to register, call 508-384-9242. That's 508-384-9242. Or log on to revolutionsoccer.net and score a goal with the Revolution Academy.
The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
The rush got to be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition Goal Line Guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren?
He's going to be sacked for a safety.
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points card and free Goal Line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
Roosevelt Colvin, wow!
Patriots extra points, because fans want contact, too. Autograph poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
This is Hall of Famer John Hanna. Let me tell you about the first ever Game with the Greats. Have you ever wondered what former football players talk about when we're watching the game? Well, now you can find out for yourself at the first ever Game with the Greats. On October 14th at Gillette Stadium, watch the Patriots take on the Cowboys in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, along with me, a bunch of my teammates, and other Patriot alumni. Guys like Andre Tippett, Steve Nelson, Steve Grogan, and Pete Brock will be there with you to enjoy the game and just hang out. Tickets are limited because they're only $25. Visit the Patriots.com homepage and click on alumni for more information. We're all going to be at the Game with the Greats. Where will you be?
All right, back here at PFW in Progress. Thank God for the Spanish channel.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Tell you,
gets us through the breaks.
It's as close to R-rated TV as you can get.
You know I don't speak Spanish. In English, please.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address, webradio at patriots.com. Anything else we want to talk about coming up with this game with the Giants?
I just think
Thursday?
This team is so stacked, it's hard to really come up with any, you know, real in-depth discussion. What's the worry?
Just basically waiting for the season to start.
And what's the one worry that anyone would have?
Tom Brady gets hurt.
Injuries.
Yeah.
Right? And you can't talk about injuries unless they happen.
Right.
I mean, on paper, they're as good as there is in the league right now.
I think,
now, so.
Without question, they're the best team in the league on paper.
Better than the Chargers?
Well, I think I count coaching in that, yes.
Okay. All right.
And the Chargers have better high-end talent at spots.
Right.
But across the board, I think the Patriots might be better. Like, the Chargers'
secondary
questionable. Their receivers, questionable.
Although
they have some issues.
I will say, and this isn't any bulletin or anything, but I watched a little bit of Peyton Manning this preseason. Oh. Man, does he look good.
Did you see the game? And I know they were only playing Detroit, but, you know, it's that third game. It's just like we're talking about the Patriots, and Tom, you talked about this. They obviously took the one game of the preseason that they were going to take seriously, and it was like a clinic.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. He could break his record, and I heard someone, it might have been Mortensen on your station, ESPN, said it. He could break that record. His touchdown pass record, because I mean,
it's almost like
the defense is going to stink.
They're going to need to score.
They're going to have to score, and that's the way they're going to score.
Obviously, we don't know anything. It's only preseason, but it just seems like he's got now a new air of confidence about him. He looks like Marino out there now. The way
he's there's a very large load of of pressure.
I'm scared.
No longer there.
I'm a scared of Peyton Manning.
Don't you think?
You should
be, because even without that air of confidence, he was beating this team.
right.
But when you finally win, what was the one stumbling, the one mental thing that he had left to overcome was he couldn't win the big one.
Right, well, not be a choker.
That's gone.
Yep.
The Patriots game is no different to him anymore.
And if you want to look at it on paper, too, I think the Gonzalez, adding him in the slot, is going to be a good playmaker for him, a good extra weapon.
They were talking about, I think Mike Tirico brought this up yesterday in that same segment that I was talking about, that Mortensen said, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, Anthony Gonzalez, the wideouts, Dallas Clark at the tight end, and Dallas Clark is his running back.
Dallas Clark
Manning
not
is a
forced.
Quarterback. What do they all have in common?
First round picks.
All first round picks.
But
that's
Dallas Clark was,
talent.
I think, forced into that slot role, and now he's a better weapon when he's not in that slot role. He's now the fourth guy. So I think that makes that offense even better.
And I got to be honest, I think Wayne is probably one of the top five receivers in the NFL right now. He is a machine.
And this is another thing that Tom kind of brought when he came here, because he had such a more, I think, in-depth knowledge of the whole league. Whereas
and you work for the Colts, apparently.
We were so patriotic. That's true. That's a good point, Fred.
Right.
but you were singing the praises of Wayne, you know, ahead of Marvin Harrison even, you know, when you got here. And I think he's better than Harrison.
And if
now,
he's not,
now,
we'll never know, because he was smart and stayed where the getting was good.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, like a die. We weren't really that huge on him coming out
back
of college.
Back-to-back years.
Now he's in an offense where you really
perfect
have to
for him.
Stay.
A die in Gonzalez, I think, would have stunk in like 28 cities in the NFL. And I think they're in one of the cities where they're going to have tremendous success.
I mean,
and if they're smart, they'll re-sign at the end of the
deal.
I'm
looking forward to that Colts game more than ever, because let's just say the Patriots defense is what we think it will be. That's going to be their big test this year.
Yeah, that'll be a heck of a matchup.
That'll be it.
Yeah, I do think the Colts are going to struggle. I think the defense is going to be weak. I think Tarik Glenn, you know, not on that offensive line. They're going to feel that impact. And I think they're going to get in a lot of shootouts. I don't think they're going to repeat.
Right.
Yeah.
But offensively, that is as good as it gets.
All right, you said if Tom Brady goes down, that's the Patriots' biggest
Manning
worry.
What about
Manning?
Forget Even it. Worse for them.
Four, three or four
well,
wins.
Well, no, their number two guy's not bad.
Huh?
Sorgi?
Yeah.
Their number two, the only thing I'll say
I don't
say
know anything about Sorgi, but I don't think he's Peyton Manning.
Their number two guy has played.
We're
but
saying
the
Manning's going to have to win shootouts.
The rest of the team, Castle would have the ability to lean on the team.
Hey, Fred.
That he wouldn't.
Fred.
You don't think he could lean on that offense?
Fred.
No. The defense I'm talking about.
Oh, no, I'm talking about that.
I don't think
he
can lean on the offense, because I think Manning makes that offense go.
If the Patriots with Brady, so let's say they average 24 points a game, I don't think Castle's averaging 17. Right. But he'll have the defense to lean on, and he'll still be able to win.
Right.
Yes. No, I agree with that.
Now, you take away, you know, 7 points from the Indianapolis production from Manning to Sorgi, which I think you can make an argument to be a lot more than seven. The defense isn't going to make up that lost touchdown.
That's fair.
Plus, you're saying he has to win shootouts. Sorgi's not winning
not
shootouts.
Do that.
You ever see Brooks Bollinger play, that quarterback?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, well, this guy couldn't beat him out at Wisconsin. So, you know, that's the type of quarterback he is. He's not going to come in there. Like these guys said, they don't have the defense. Now, if they had a defense and he could use those weapons around him to score 20 points a game, then I could see it. But he's going to have to score 38 points a game.
I'm not sure I would.
No way.
I'm not sure I would, but I think you could make an argument that Sorgi, as if there was the Patriots backup, would be in better shape than they would be with Castle.
I put Sorgi like in Matt Schaub's
because
category.
He's played a little bit. Well, I'm not sure he's that good.
I don't know.
Really.
Yeah,
Matt Schaub was the best college quarterback in the country when he
was
senior.
The ACC player of the year.
Okay.
This guy split time with Brooks
Bollinger. How about David Garrard? That level?
He stinks, so I'll put him there.
Yeah. I think that's okay.
Yeah.
I don't think David Garrard can throw, though. I think Sorgi can at least throw the ball, you know, from A to B.
He's played a little, and when he has played, he's been reasonably productive. He hasn't been Manning productive, but no one is. You know, that would be a huge drop off, because no team in the league, I don't think, relies on their quarterback as much as that.
Can you,
plus, Manning controls the whole game.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. He's the straw that stirs that drink. Can you believe the disrespect to Tom Brady? Peyton Manning is a 99 in Madden, and Tom Brady's only a 98.
I saw that email.
Fred, the one thing I'll say about the Chargers is, while they have a lot of talent, I think defensively could be their Achilles heel, because I think they're a defense that plays good when they have the lead. Like last year, they had the lead in a lot of games, and you can just let those pass rushers go. But that secondary, man,
they
got a lot of holes.
Two new inside linebackers, including the guy from Maine.
That could end up tripping them up.
Okay.
I think the Chargers have some concerns, and you know, most of them are dealing with the coaching staff. Now, they may turn out to be a cohesive unit, and all of a sudden by October, they're 4-0, and people
Ted
are saying,
Cottrell.
You know, who knows?
I hate Ted Cottrell.
You know, maybe
I think he stinks.
But, you know, the one thing you can say is they do have some experience. I mean, it's bad experience. I think Cottrell has been an average defensive coordinator. I think North Turner has been a below-average head coach. But they have been around. They know what they're doing. They know how to put something together. Maybe it works. Maybe they have enough talent that they overcome any deficiencies they may have. I don't know.
When are we doing our predictions and all that stuff?
This week.
Today and tomorrow.
Oh.
You ready?
No.
Better bone up.
No, you're talking about for PFW, right?
Yeah.
What about on this show?
I didn't know we did it.
What predictions do we do on this show?
We throw out new predictions every week.
So next Wednesday, we're going to do our predictions.
What predictions?
What predictions?
Like who's going to win the AFC East? Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
I like the Patriots.
All right, we'll do that.
And
we'll
the predictions.
That. We'll do that next week, and we'll also do picks all around the league next Wednesday for week one.
Okay. Let's see. Joe in Winnipeg says, I'm glad to have Samuel back with the team. Can you explain to me why a team cannot sign a franchise player to a deal longer than 1 year after July 17th? This doesn't seem to benefit the team or the player. But why do they install that rule?
To force them to negotiate and get it done.
To get it over with.
It's for both sides. You know, it's for both sides to get something done.
Sort of like those roster bonus things, and it's to give you a reason to do it beforehand, do it by a certain period.
Right. Also, I caught some of the Bills' preseason game last week. Losman looks like he has improved.
Good.
And I thought they might be headed for a decent 8-8 season. Then they flashed their schedule. What do you think the Bills' record will be in Week 10 when they meet the Dolphins? The schedule up to that point is Denver, Pittsburgh, New England, Jets, Dallas, bye, Baltimore, Jets, and Cincinnati. I like their chances in
Not
the bye
good.
Week.
They could be winless.
Well, his point is, I like their chances in the bye week, but these guys might be 0-8 in Week 10.
They
don't have as much talent as the first eight teams they play.
Right, but they'll probably catch a couple teams
at
home.
Oh, yeah, no, they won't go winless.
They play much better at home than they do on the road, so they'll probably
It's not that bad of a team.
They have big plays.
So
Joe, 2-6, probably.
Joe is from
Dallas,
Canada.
They'll beat.
Joe is from Canada.
It's in Buffalo.
How many more losing seasons can Buffalo handle before they become the Toronto Bills? And I think
that's
a good point.
It's a very complex proposal.
You know, this guy that you're listening to who owns the team right now has said when he dies, the team's being sold. He's not leaving it to anybody. So I look at Toronto as the next place for this team. I really do.
That'd be unfortunate.
Yeah.
For Bills fans,
I wouldn't mind going to Toronto.
For the NFL.
I don't want to go to Toronto.
They don't care.
I would.
Why would it be bad for the NFL?
Because they cared about baseball when their team was winning the World Series, and after that, I mean, they haven't had a fan there in years.
In Toronto, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
They just don't care. They care about hockey. That's it.
Yeah. Okay, that might, you know, good point.
Now, are they allowed to do that? Doesn't the NFL have a working agreement with the CFL now of some sort?
Yeah, but I'm sure it's pretty much one-sided. I mean, the NFL...
You calling us slumlords?
Yeah, the NFL invests in the CFL. Like, they give them, I don't know, a couple million dollars a year
or
something
like that.
Yeah.
Maybe they have some sort of working agreement, and you'd be, you know, infringing upon
LA,
the turf.
But I think, you know, the Bills have a big Canadian following. They really do.
And in that
Willis
whole
McGahee
region
said they
is,
should go, right?
Big Bills, the whole, like, region, Syracuse,
yeah,
right? Like,
yeah.
So they could even still go to Toronto to see the games from there.
Right.
So you wouldn't be losing your
and
fan base, really.
And there's some good
really.
Strip clubs in Toronto. So
I thought that was Montreal.
Both. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. A-Rod was in
Toronto,
right?
Right. Let's see. Sawyer from Waterloo.
Bet you A-Rod can find a hot girl in any town he goes to.
Sawyer from Waterloo. He says, hey, Jake, Andy, Paul, Nightlight and Light Bright the Tracer.
Light Bright. Nightlight and Light Bright.
That's good.
That works.
If you have not covered it, what happened on the block kicks? During the game, we did not cover it. It looked like
what
Green.
What we're looking for is penetration.
It looked like Green and Wilfork were the two that penetrated both times. Were the Panthers working on block kick returns?
I don't think
the guy had enough elevation.
I think they were both
one.
Low
yeah.
kicks.
Yeah.
I think you can credit the defense, but I think those were low kicks that were.
They actually, you know, and I didn't know this live, but they actually got a hand on the extra point too. Did you know that?
Yeah, that, yeah. Right?
But I heard Bill say it.
No, well, that's why I found out.
Bill showed how much.
Good enough source for me.
Bill showed how much preseason means by starting out with all Maroney and then going for it deep in our own territory. But that's how Bill did it, so it's the right way. Did Felger learn?
Signed, Fred.
Did Felger learn a new term, dog? Talk about betting something in,
beating something
into the ground. The Moss hater must not have been around enough to see. I mean, not see Chad Jackson for 2 years. Would you keep a guy that is somewhat expendable like C.J. Jones, check the stats, around for kick returns until PUPs run out?
No.
Are they expanding Patriots Today to half-hour daily to let B-Lo really let it rip? They are expanding Patriots Today to a half-hour daily starting with the first week of the season.
And they're cutting B-Lo down to 30 seconds.
No, he'll still be on it. Lastly, I am sorry that Andy lost a job on TV because of Tom. He had the job until...
Oh, it's actually Felger.
He had the job until they realized that Tom would come along.
I didn't do anything. I didn't ask to come along.
Felger screwed me.
Hey, the more jobs Andy and Paul get, the happier I am for them. They don't need to bring me along. I don't care.
I'll try my best once again to get to the bottom of this tonight, Freddie.
Okay.
A little self-promotion there. He just wanted to let you know he's going to be on TV tonight.
Absolutely.
Let's see. Justin in Alaska. Why Moss doesn't matter? I'm having a hard time seeing any downside to the Moss situation. I have friends tell me either, oh, Moss is sandbagging it, he's not going to play, or he will only play when he wants to, etc. So what? Who cares? To me, if he plays at all, it's cherry on the top. If he doesn't play, one down for the Pats, are we any worse off? The receiving core of Stallworth, Caldwell, yeah. Welker, Washington, Gaffney is a decent receiving group, not the best in the league, but by no means in the bottom two-thirds as well. Also remember that we have Captain America as our quarterback. Are we better off with Moss? Yes. Do we want him to play and be a 10-plus touchdown guy? Of course. But he doesn't contribute and doesn't play. I don't see this as setting us back at all. And have Felger on more and Scalapavizino less.
Wow.
Oh.
Now, I would agree that if Moss doesn't play a down, that's really not a big deal. But I think what some people worry about is if he plays a few weeks, maybe things aren't going his way, does he become disruptive?
Right.
I don't think that there's much of a chance of that. I think that he's here to win, as Andy pointed out earlier in the show. I think he's been around. I think he wants to solidify himself as one of the truly elite wide receivers that's ever played. I think he's looking for an opportunity to do that here and win. And I don't think it's going to be a problem. But I think the people that are worried, guys like Felger, that are worried about it, that's what they concern themselves with. If he doesn't play at all, then it's, you took a shot. You don't lose anything. But if he plays and is unhappy, he could be disruptive.
He could be disruptive.
Or if he plays and he's an important part of the offense early on and then somehow becomes disruptive,
right.
Now you've taken a step forward and then a step back.
Right.
That's what I think people are concerned with.
Well, all right.
But no concern there for Fred.
Eric, you've been very quiet today.
Not really for me either.
What's the matter?
He was a little upset that you and I were yelling at each other early in the show.
That really bothered. Gets
it
you
really
off kilter.
Concerned me a little bit.
A little bit. You were upset just a little bit.
You know,
you're
I
not a confrontational type.
You know, I love you guys. I don't like to see you guys go.
It's all about
I'm the soft, sensitive, creative type, as Paul likes to say.
Artistic.
Artistic. Yeah. Sorry.
You didn't even slam that emailer. I called him stupid.
Now I notice, Eric, when we go
stupider.
I'm mature.
When we go on the road, I notice you don't go out with us at night. Should we take that personally?
No, I
think at this point we let it go the first week, Fred. But I'm glad you brought it up. I think at this point it's clearly
okay.
A personal
he doesn't like us.
You might be having.
I don't really
come
like
up to
us.
Your room.
I got
to
be honest with you. I don't really like us all that much.
I have talked to Eric about this, and he's told me that he's not really a night person. He kind of goes to bed early.
True.
And
he's got to be up early to go to the art museum.
Well, that's true too.
And I think he doesn't
like
us.
We don't do art museums.
During the regular season, I could understand that
season,
line.
I like going to art museums.
Tom,
maybe
you should
go with him.
It's a long day on Sunday.
I
starts early.
Have you been
early
to the Contemporary Museum of in Boston, the new one?
No, I have not.
That very ICA?
How about the Gardner Museum? Have you ever been to the Gardner Museum?
Actually, I've not been.
Here we
go.
You should go to
there either.
Okay.
Why? What are you getting upset for, Tom?
No,
because we were talking about something that you
spun off access. We're not talking about football.
The only art, Tom knows is Art Schleister.
he
was involved with him.
Art Shell.
I know when Fred starts throwing out things like that, that we'll never get back on track because now his mind's wandering around.
Well, I just want to make sure Eric knows that he's always invited to go out to eat with us at night.
Oh no, and we will. But we've been getting into town at like 9, 10 o'clock at night.
Right.
And I'm usually gone by that point. So.
All right.
But yeah, when we get closer, although I must, when we go to New York next week, I do have friends in New Jersey, so I'll be going to dinner with them. But after that.
Thanks
after
for letting
that,
us know. Where do you go?
I don't know. I've never been on the road with you guys.
No,
where are you
friends?
Going?
Where are you
going
to go with your friends?
I don't know.
Where do they live?
Sound like
they live
son.
In Red Bank.
Oh, Red Bank?
Red Bank, New Jersey.
I never heard of Red Bank. Where's that?
Rumson?
Yeah.
Monmouth County?
Monmouth County.
This is why.
It's a little bit further down. It's on the shore side.
This is why I'm asking questions.
No, I used to live in New
I want to see if I can make your head actually leave your shoulders.
Tell them that I used to live in Manalapan.
Okay, Fred used to live in Manalapan.
Right. Who's Fred?
That would be the response. Jake.
Yeah.
Butters,
By Curious if Butters. If they really want to, you should go to Hoboken.
Hoboken.
And go to Arthur's.
They give you a half a head of lettuce.
Yeah, half a head of lettuce.
A wedge.
You order a salad, comes as a half a head of lettuce.
They have two steaks.
That's great.
No, it isn't.
What?
Listen.
That's a selling point.
They have two steaks there, a 24-ounce
and a 48-ounce.
You got
it somewhere and you didn't like it.
Okay. No, I read it.
You better stick with the 24-ounce.
Arthur's and Hoboken. What are the two sizes? I just want
24 and 48.
24 and 48.
I'll take requests for good restaurants in that area.
He needs the petit filet.
He said you better get the 24.
It's an icon. Arthur's is a Hoboken icon.
All right.
The Bulkin's
in there?
Did
Frank
sing
there?
What's that?
Did Frank Sinatra sing there?
Frank was born in Hoboken.
Well, I know that.
I don't think he's staying in there. It's not the kind of place that,
Not that kind of place?
It's not a dive, But you,
you're Hope sending Hoboken's me
not a dime.
Wait a minute. You wondered why Hoboken. I sighed.
No, no, I'm talking about Arthur's. See what I mean? Okay. The restaurant Arthur's. Hoboken is very nice. It's upscale. It's kind of like Back Bay-ish.
Except for Arthur's.
It started off like that. Tick, tick, tick. Now it's tick, 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 Tom.
Actually, now it's flatline. He fell asleep.
Wait a minute. Why are you sending me to a place that's not exactly a dime?
No, no, no. It's
because they give you half a head of lettuce. I mean, what more could you want?
The menu is one piece of
paper. Go to Stop and Shop, get that for 89 cents.
If you like eating meat, it's the place to go.
I was waiting for a shut up right there.
Have you been to Arthur's?
No, I haven't been to Arthur's.
Well, where are you guys going to go?
You want to go?
Wait.
Why don't you want to go?
Because I don't want to go.
It's a good place.
Because he has no interest in a half a head of lettuce.
You want to go, Tom?
I don't want to go all the way to Hoboken.
No, I don't.
You don't want to have a steak?
Where are you going to go out? Where are you going to go out when we go there?
I don't
get there early.
I go to Arthur's sometimes in Hoboken.
Sometimes? Well, what about the other time?
I don't know.
That's when we say no. We don't want to go with you.
You haven't gone to Arthur's.
He comes with us. Right.
I haven't gone to Arthur's in 2 years.
At least.
Because I've been here for 2 years and you haven't gone to Arthur's.
I don't remember what we've done the last couple of years.
You should go to Arthur's. You want to go to Arthur's? Yeah. I wouldn't steer you wrong, Tom.
End Zone Motel.
You know I wouldn't steer you wrong.
Yeah, he had me up in the End Zone Hotel that first night where I got propositioned by a hooker.
That's before I knew you.
He was a male.
And
Tom accepted.
I was going to say,
and you
the amazing part of me
later.
Turned it down.
Yeah, you can thank me for that later.
If you saw her, you'd know why.
All right, let's get back to the emails.
Not that I wouldn't do that sort of thing. She wasn't up to his standards.
We'll talk about this later. Johnny and
Banks.
Well, let's be honest. If any of us were propositioned by a ridiculously hot hooker, you're at least considering it for a minute before you say no.
I run
I'm reaching in for my wallet.
When I used to work at the Herald and was right in the edge of the combat zone, not a fun time getting out of there when I used to have to take the team.
But were they hot?
Some of them were.
Were they women?
Yes.
You never know.
I used to just put my head down and walk as fast as I could.
If I was on the road with my own hotel room and a hot girl
the combine
wanted me, I would definitely do it. My wife would never find out.
Well, the problem with
Paul
is...
You're with us. What do you mean she'd never find out?
See, the problem with Paul is he'll have the hooker, but he says, well, I'm not going to stand up. You know, I just don't stand up when I have hookers.
What? Does that
it's just a rule.
Even
it's
a
just
little,
a rule.
Does that make even a little bit of sense?
Well, you know, you don't like to stand up for things that you do.
I wouldn't do it because Tom would tell everybody.
I would.
Eric, this stems
I rode an elevator with a drunk 40-year-old, and that turned into I had sex with her.
I don't like yelling.
Are you guys fighting again?
He doesn't believe at a football game people should stand up and cheer.
I didn't say that people shouldn't do it. I said I don't.
Okay.
Fans?
This might be our worst show ever.
Fans? All
right, let me get back to the
We knew from how it started.
No, this is the 115 digress.
Brought to you by Papa Gino's.
It's a pacing that I have for the show, Tom. It's all about pacing.
Tom doesn't like when you don't talk about football.
It has been 15 minutes, though.
Can't you just, you know, grant his wish?
All right. Johnny from Frederick in Maryland. Says, can you give me an update on the injury status of Faulk, Seymour, and Chad Jackson? All right. Well, we know that Jackson is on that list, right?
Faulk, reserve
fine.
Faulk is fine. He just didn't play in
and
the
Seymour,
game.
We don't know.
Well, he had a knee procedure in the offseason. Yeah. We know he's up and running and doing things, but he's not ready to be dominant yet.
Right.
Heath Evans, to me, looks like a lock for our fullback. He's fast, he can catch, and he's a big, big, strong man.
And he's the only
Speaking
fullback
of which,
have.
What happened to Patrick Pass? He just got
He was
cut.
On the Texans, and he got cut because he stinks.
And he was a soft, soft, soft man.
If you were to choose one non-NFL city to have an NFL you franchise know? Move to, such as Buffalo, what would it be?
Las Vegas.
Wow.
Next.
You'd want to move to Las Vegas?
No, if you could have one team, one NFL city have a team.
I wouldn't want them to have all the fun. I want the Super Bowl there in Vegas.
Mm. I'm just answering the guy's question. If there was one city that doesn't have a team, where would you want it to be?
So we would go to Vegas once a year? I'd be in for that.
Honolulu.
Till they realign.
I'd say Honolulu.
Yeah, I want to go to Hawaii once a year.
That's the longest flight in the... No.
Yeah, you know.
LA. Yeah, I was thinking more like Burlington, Vermont.
Right. You know, Boston. They don't have a team.
I was thinking Lowell.
Yeah. Hoboken.
Lowell beat
the Hoboken.
Pawtucket.
L.A., Toronto, where else?
No desire for L.A.
No, L.A. No, come on. They got the Chargers. That's close enough.
How about...
Okay.
Someplace with
see.
Good food.
Pierre, South Dakota.
Can each of you tell me, if you were stuck on an island and could take one of the following, what would it be?
Pamela Anderson.
A girl over the age of 18. A fellow A fellow PFW in progress employee.
Oh,
one main dish, beer, or a CD?
A girl.
A woman.
Yeah, I guess the woman, yeah.
No question.
A girl 18, though.
What?
You're supposed to answer for each one.
Oh, who would it be?
Did he miss? He misread the whole thing.
Oh, all right. If you had to bring my wife, right?
What, boring.
Does she listen? Right? Why are you asking us if that's right?
Oh, no. Yes, Fred. That's a good answer. It might be up there. Come on.
Okay, girl. Who would you bring on an island?
Oh, what girl?
Yeah.
How about a Ted Nation round of applause?
Shania Twain.
Shania Twain?
You said the name one. She's beautiful.
Shania
she can sing.
We hadn't had something new to make fun of Eric about in the last 5 minutes, so he had to help us out.
Shania Twain.
She's over 18. She's gorgeous, and she can sing.
Okay.
What do you want?
I'm not asking her to sing.
Pamela Anderson. She's hot, dirty, and will do whatever you tell her to.
Yeah, the dirty part kind of worries
me. Yeah, exactly.
I'm on an island. I'm going to die eventually anyway.
Do I have to die like 2 days later?
Well, maybe that's those lines, Jenna Jameson, because she's dirtier and she'll do it a lot longer. So I'll take her.
Okay. Paul?
I feel like I'm not.
Paul would take
right?
B. Arthur.
I don't want to die of like hepatitis Perillo. 2 days later. No, I mean, you can't take your wife. That's
Margaret Thatcher?
Right. That's.
She's over 18.
You know, I was thinking Jessica Alba.
Jessica Alba would be tough. She's over 18, right?
Boobs aren't big enough.
Jesus.
Yeah. Okay, how about which fellow PFW in progress employee would you take?
None.
Fred.
Below.
I don't know exactly who I would take, but I know who I wouldn't take, and he's sitting right across from me.
Right. I think we all would not take Fred on a desert
island. I really don't need to just get constantly made fun of.
I would take Eric because he could write a big SOS in the sand that would look really nice.
Only if you gave him a picture of what an SOS looks like.
And the planes would see it from above.
I would take Bilo so I could kill him.
I'd take Fred because he's kind of important. They might come looking for Fred, and I'd get saved.
I'd take Gary. Gary got me a lot of radio gigs.
All right. What would your main dish be? What would the main food be?
Filet mignon?
Okay.
I might go with that, too, because that's easy. I don't want buffalo wings, because if I'm a, you know.
Well, you have the whole ocean.
That would ruin the whole Pamela Anderson thing.
Pizza.
Eric would take pizza.
Tom? Do I not have diabetes in this little scale? If not, I'll take pizza.
Pizza? Okay.
Who would you take?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's going to go like creme brulee.
It would probably half a head of lettuce.
Probably a prime rib. A nice prime rib.
Yeah, got to go. Got to go with something.
And a blue cheese salad and a baked
something
potato.
Something of sustenance.
Now Fred gets extra dishes.
Well, it's all one dish.
Oh, okay.
One
dish will be a buffet table.
Right, what's the gabagoo?
Beer. I know Paul would be Miller Lite.
Miller Lite.
Eric.
Sam Adams.
Sam Adams.
Miller Lite.
Coors Light.
Okay.
What's yours?
Killian's. For Fred.
No, I would
the
take,
local brew.
I would take a Sam Adams.
What do you have on draft?
I take Sam Adams. It has to be cold, though. I don't like room temperature beer.
What do you have on draft, Fred? No, that's not going to work.
How about your CD? What would your CD be?
Bring my iPod.
But you can't bring your iPod.
New rules.
Who brings CDs? You have iPods now. MP3s.
One's on an island.
One album. One CD.
Who Guy. Is
it? Why am I with Jenna Jameson?
He's playing the role of me right here. Just play along, will you?
I would go
Earth, Wind, and Fire Greatest Hits.
It's not out yet, but I'd go Eminem Greatest Hits. Whenever he comes out with Greatest Hits, we'll be there.
I would go.
I would need something to keep me peppy.
I would go Guns N' Roses, Appetite for Destruction, or Bon Jovi.
Okay, I might go with Deep Purple, Machine Head.
Gary, why don't you play?
All right,
because he's the only one who has his significant other that actually listens.
All right, Johnny says, keep up the good work.
But she's
you
not
guys.
Over 18, so he couldn't bring her to the island.
That's right. Maybe I would bring her to the island.
Well, she could go, but she'd have to bring her homework. Johnny says, keep up the good work. You guys are much better than anything on TV right now.
Not today.
And if you want the real story on the Patriots, read PFW.
That's true.
Okay.
Thank you for the kind words.
Good stuff. Uh-oh. Calling out Paul.
There we go.
We already heard this because Paul searches for anything that has his name in it.
I didn't hear it, so this will be new.
This is from PJ.
I like PJ.
I see my name littered in there.
PJ is excellent.
He says, great show last week. I have to get on Paul a little bit. Paul, I think you are very good on the show.
I agree.
That's why he said he was excellent. But you have to stop lumping all Pats fans together, saying they're all a bunch of Fred Kirsches and aren't objective. Please, Paul, get off your high horse thinking you are the only Patriots fan who looks at the team objectively.
It's a bold assumption there, PJ, that he's a Patriots fan.
You do it all the time, and you have Tom and Andy agreeing with you now. Last week, Felger got you on the Nobody is Talking About Samuel bandwagon. Come on, we all knew that he would be back eventually, and frankly, I'm not scared to play the Jets in their rocket-arm quarterback without an in-game-shaped Samuel. If that is looking through Fred Kirsch-colored glasses, then I guess all of Las Vegas are Pats fans because the Patriots were and are still big favorites with or without Samuel in the lineup. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy to see him back, but I'm just telling you why nobody was in an uproar about him not being here. Don't insult me anymore by saying if he was a Patriot, Patriots fans would think he's great. You are not the only fan in the world that is objective, although you do act like it sometimes.
Yeah.
Now that I got that off my chest, I have to ask Andy, do you really justify your choice of the Pats losing two games over them winning two games by saying it is easier to lose than win? Wow. Thanks for the insight, Andy. Sorry to get on you guys. I'm a big fan of all of you, with the exception of the toe. Just kidding. I love the job you guys do.
Tough day to be Eric.
Good stuff from PJ.
Well, PJ,
I have to agree with PJ. I do think like that. I do think that Patriots fans are, for the most part, not objective. He's right. I do think
like
that.
Well, that's fans. I'm
a fan.
No, you're not.
Of who?
The Patriots.
The Herald.
The Patriots.
The
Herald.
But
the Herald's dead to me.
Northeastern.
PJ kind of missed our
point. I'm not a Patriots fan to the extent I'm a Northeastern fan. That's true.
PJ kind of missed our point last week. We weren't talking about Patriot fans. We were talking about the media.
Right.
We were asking why the media wasn't trying to figure out more things about Samuel. Because
right.
If you were in, Andy, you've been reading stuff from New York for the Jets preview. Do you think they would have gone 3 weeks without asking a question about Asante Samuel?
They would have gone 3 minutes.
Just let me
that's
back
what
up,
we were saying.
Let me back up Tom's point by this, too. In light of what we found out over the last 3 days since Samuel returned, does it now not even look even more dumb?
Yeah, right.
And
there
more
was a lot there.
There was a lot of stuff there. There were a lot of layers to this story that were ignored because why? Because the media here is afraid of Bill Belichick and won't ask anything. We left those press conferences saying, I can't believe on Monday that nobody actually asked Bill if Asante signed his tender. And when in fact, he hadn't. No one even asked him. That's what we're talking about. No one's talking about Samuel. Yes, I agree, PJ. We all knew that he was going to come back. That's what we all said. We all thought he would come back around the time that he did. Maybe, in my case, a couple of days later than I thought originally. But we all figured he'd be back in time to get ready for the season. It made sense for him financially. But that doesn't mean that everybody should have ignored the story. And I think everybody did because they blindly accept anything that happens around here.
Let's see. Kyle from New York, formerly Clinton, Mass. I know the show's going to be 95% about Sonny Samuel today, but I wanted to ask you one question.
I was 95% about what you would take on a desert island.
But I wanted to ask you one question about the players placed on reserve PUP yesterday. I noticed the list didn't include David Thomas in that he, like Seymour, is still on active PUP, giving him a chance to play in the first 6 weeks of the season. Does this surprise you, and when do you expect to see Thomas suit up?
Well, they haven't made the final decisions yet. They'll have to make the final decisions Saturday. They will not be on reserve active PUP as of Saturday, like we talked about earlier. They'll either be on the roster as active players or on reserve
really
PUP
Saturday's
or
the
IR.
As we talked about, 23 guys have to leave.
They'll have a 53-man roster by Saturday. Whatever it is and whatever shape it takes, there'll be 53 guys that are eligible to play in New York.
Let's see. Vinny is a two-time lunch buyer, so we like Vinny.
Could become the first ever three-time lunch buyer.
He says, I'm ready to offer you another free lunch.
I love Vinny.
Most likely after the first season game against the Jets, are you going to be present at that game?
Yes.
We will all be there.
We will be there.
Anyway, quick question. Who will have a better year, Adai or Maroney? On ESPN's show, they said that Joseph Adai proved to be a better player last year. Also, I was
not
listening
so sure
to Mike
that.
And Mike's show this morning, and they said that Tom Brady's son's initials are J-E-T,
M.
So they play Jets music in the background.
It's only funny if it was J-E-T-S, Jets.
It's J-E-T-M. It's Jet'em. Maroney's the better player. Adai will have the better year. He just he's got just too much to work with there. You're so consumed. We say Maroney's going to have a big year because teams are going to be worried about these receivers.
Right.
Just imagine when you play the Colts and Manning, and it just opens up so many things. He catches so many passes out of the backfield. So for fantasy purposes, I would take a die, but I still believe as a runner, I think Maroney's the better player.
I agree.
I think that Maroney is the better player, and I think he's going to have a better statistical year. I think Adai had a better year than Maroney did last year. You know, injuries or no injuries, I think Adai played better than Maroney played. But I agree with Tom. I think that the better player is Maroney, and that will be proven this year.
Mike, Joseph Adai,
just a guy.
Mike from Columbus, Ohio, was happy to hear that Bridget finally had her baby after her 13-month pregnancy, or so it seems. If Tom and Bridget ever get back together, they can name their other kids Bill and Dolphin to represent the whole division having to call Tom their daddy.
Okay.
John, I don't see.
Jet.
On a football note,
is he funny if he actually called the kid, if the kid's name was Jet?
Right.
But it isn't. It's just initials. And it's got an extra middle name.
On a football note, I'm wondering if the coaches are disappointed with Brandon Merriweather. In Carolina, it appeared that he was down the depth chart below Mike Richardson, What kind of playing time do you expect from him as the season progresses? And with Richardson on IR, does Gay go ahead of Merriweather for covering the slot receiver in nickel and dime packages?
Yeah, because Gay goes from a starting corner to a backup.
You have your theory very on good.
A logical assumption on your part, Andy.
So he was already ahead of him on the depth chart at corner. And then I have a little theory about Merriweather that maybe they thought he was getting a little ahead of himself in terms of what he was, the reps he was getting, the role he was going to have. So I kind of feel like they might have just said, ease off, young fellow. There's other guys, too.
Now, which of you told me when I went over and, you know, asked about Merriweather that you saw him on the sideline kind of pouting a little bit?
Yes, he was kind of sulking.
Now,
was
that just your...
Now, that's me saying he's sulking from 1,000 feet above.
I was going to say, from well above the stadium, yes.
But that's the vibe I got.
Well, how, now tell me, give me a specific.
Just the look at the look of him, his face, the way he was looking around, kind of. There was a time when he was the only person sitting by himself on the bench when everybody else was off doing things. You know, Richardson may have been playing at that point. I just
so he's pouting a little bit.
I thought so.
Okay, good.
And speaking
good.
Of five,
why yeah. good?
I want him to be upset that he's not playing.
Well, speaking
and then,
of,
and then I want them to yell at him afterwards for pouting.
Speaking of vibes, Fred, I kind of got in the locker room that. And this is just from being in the locker room, that he's not really that close with anyone. He's
not yet, he isn't.
Really? Last year, like Maroney and Jackson and those guys would joke around and kind of jump on each other and everything. He's very, like, to himself and quiet. Now, I don't know if that's because, like Andy said, maybe they're trying to break him a little bit or whatever.
Maybe that's just his personality.
Maybe. I'm just saying, I just noticed it because last year they kind of, you know, like I said, Maroney, they would always fool around and joke around, and even with the veterans. But he's kind of just, he walks in, he goes to his locker, he doesn't say anything to anyone. Kind of like Ray Ventrone, just a lot more talented. But that's just something I notice in the locker room.
And relevant.
And there are very few personalities like Maroney's anyway. I mean, he's
a diva.
Yeah, but he's fun to talk to.
But even Chad Jackson would, like, you know, be hanging out with other receivers and stuff, and...
He's been quiet this playbook. Year,
yeah, even now, Chad Jackson has been very interactive with his teammates. I saw him with Kelvin Kite and Dante Stallworth. They were, I don't even know what they were doing, something, but some kind of hijinks, you know, yesterday in the locker room. It seems now that he's still, even though he hasn't really been practicing or doing anything, he's still involved heavily with everything that's going on around him.
Okay, let's see. Ben from Pembroke says, question is about Adalius Thomas. When he first signed, I think we all envisioned him primarily on the outside.
Still
so what are your thoughts on his seeming role at Mike linebacker?
I think, bit of a waste.
I think it is a case that while he may be more naturally an outside linebacker, him filling that other inside spot improves the overall effectiveness of the linebacker core. Vrabel was simply meant for the outside, and while Thomas might be an improvement on the outside, his playing inside fills a major need. So do you see him starting at Mike for the season and then maybe going on the outside on third down like we saw against Carolina?
I would say yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that he's not going to just line up every single play inside.
Right.
You
and I don't think he's all of a sudden starting the season as the starting outside linebacker after spending the whole preseason inside.
Now, the other thing I think to keep an eye on, and they did a lot of this Thursday night as well, is you can see him up front lining up you know, in four-man lines.
Yeah.
And they did a lot of that, I thought, Thursday night. And I'm pretty sure they're going to do that into the season. And, you know, it's still the basic same basic concept, but again, it's what Belichick likes to do in disguising the rushers and, you know, trying to create some confusion. Thomas is a guy who makes plays. Andy's right in his theory that you want to try to get him in a position to make plays. Now, whether that's up front, that he can, you know, he's blitzing and he's going to shoot. It doesn't matter if you're blitzing from the inside or the outside, you can make plays.
Or
and
whether that's after the back out of the backfield has juked Mike Vrabel out of his jock and then cleaning up by tackling him on the sideline. Whatever it may be.
I was trying to make a serious point.
Me too.
Let's see. Phil from Austin says, missed you the past 3 months, so I have some catching up to do.
Philip!
Good job on the training camp blog. It was a good way to keep track of what was going on. Questions. Haven't heard much about Larry Izzo. Will he make it?
Yes.
Yeah. I hope so. Yeah. You'll be hearing a lot about him.
We got a feature in the making.
Tom will be cursing me out big time if he doesn't, because I've put off a feature about him about 5 weeks now.
Another question. Has Troy Brown played his last game?
No.
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 He is on the PUP.
Yes.
He won't be here until week six at the earliest.
After week seven.
After week six.
Week seven. What do you think of the three offensive linemen who were drafted?
Not much.
Are they going to make the roster, practice squad, or goodbye?
Maybe practice squad.
I think
one or two.
Elgin, practice squad, maybe one other.
Oldenburg, maybe.
Other, goodbye.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Okay. Let's see.
Elgin's a technician who apparently is a little soft through the middle and could do a little work in the weight room. I saw him with his shirt off yesterday, and he's a soft 280.
Owen in Belfast writes in. He says he needs help from Patriot Nation. I'm moving to Dublin in 2 weeks, and I need the help
Join
of
in
Patriots
the
Nation in Ireland. My question is, where can I find somewhere to watch the Patriots-Chargers game in Dublin?
One of the 17 bars per block.
Are there any good bars or restaurants that I can go to watch NFL every Sunday? You should check the fan registry on Patriots.com, because I believe there is a Dublin fan club. So
the Dublin Drunks or something.
Also, one question. Who do you guys think will make the playoffs this year in the AFC, and what are your thoughts on Nick Cager? Andy is a wanker, and Tom is a god and continues to bring it every week.
Thanks, Owen.
The drunk guys love Tom.
Should we give away our predictions of who we think is going to make the playoffs?
We'll do that next week. So, Owen, you have to listen next week to hear our predictions.
So you got to sober up one more time.
What is that noise I hear? It's like a air conditioning unit.
Refrigerator?
Is that what it is?
You know, that refrigerator that's been here for, I don't know, the last 5 years.
It just seems to be very loud today. You should have that serviced, Gary. can you get Eddie Mac down here? Look at the fridge. I don't know about those fridges. When Parcells was here, they wouldn't allow to have those.
What is wrong with you?
Let's see. John in Palm Bay, Florida. I'm just... what is up with Seymour, Warren, and Moss? When will they start to practice? The team looked great last week, but I still like to see what the team will look like when all these players start to practice and play.
Warren has been practicing.
Moss may or may not be practicing. Seymour can't.
Okay. Steve is mad because we were yelling. He says, come on, guys, stop all the whining and talk about football. You all sound like Bob Ryan on one of his rants. Back to football.
Wouldn't want to be confused with one of the most respected sports columnists in the country.
Right. Who every time I look has a new opportunity popping up, TV shows and everything.
And then he goes and asks a question that's been answered about five times in the show about Seymour. Finally, can you give me your breakdown of who will make it and who will be cut? No, we can't.
Yeah, here's my 53.
I'm going to start 1, Tom Brady. 2, Randy Moss.
Okay. Now, you know, any that we're closer to Saturday, any revisions on surprise cuts that you think?
Not really. Andy thinks Matt Castle's going to be cut.
I don't think, but I think there's a 5% chance.
Really?
That he's cut?
That he's cut.
I don't think there's any way.
His development has plateaued.
Who are we comparing? We had to choose. We had played this little thing. Matt Castle or who?
Jim Sorgi?
No.
Vinny Testaverde? Vinny Testaverde, the two backups. Who would play?
Who would get cut?
Oh, Rishay Caldwell?
Rishay Caldwell or Matt Castle. And you thought Matt Castle had a better chance of getting cut.
Oh, I don't believe I ever said that.
No, I don't think he did either. He just said that's his
surprise cut. That he's plateaued, leveled off, and they've realized he's not going to be that guy they thought he might be.
And so they just get rid of him.
Well, if you don't think he can ever be a serviceable player for you, yeah.
No.
But it's right over.
But if other teams think that he is, then why not?
No, there was something we were talking
about. I'm not
sure
other teams
Chad Jackson.
Think they are.
Oh, Chad.
Said if.
Chad Jackson or Matt Castle, who you'd be more surprised if they cut outright?
Right. And you and I said Matt Castle and Tom and
No,
Andy
and you said Matt Castle. I said Chad Jackson only because of the financial commitment.
Okay. But that was a different argument. Right. Okay. Any other, Tom, you got a surprise cut? Anyone?
Rishay Caldwell was my pick at the beginning of camp. I'm sticking with
it. Yeah, I would probably side with Paul on that now because.
But I don't think it's less of a surprise now. More of a surprise now because Troy Brown's on PUP.
Right, but the surprise would be like if Bam Childress got the roster spot to be a returner and everything. And
I think that
Caldwell
they would take him over Rishay Caldwell right
wouldn't,
now.
Wouldn't. There's really no surprises on this team. Like I've been saying for a while, I thought a month ago we could peg in 48, 49, right. 50 guys.
Blind speculation here. How do you think Tom Brady would feel about Rishay Caldwell getting cut if he had a important say in the matter?
Would he vote keep him or cut him?
I would have to know how he felt about Caldwell.
Yeah. No, that's what I mean. Do you think a guy who was his leading receiver last year, most consistent weapon?
I mean, I don't know about personally.
No, I'm talking about as value to the team.
As a player, I don't think he'd care.
I don't think he would care either.
I don't either.
I don't. At this point, I don't think he would.
I just wonder, with all the new bodies, having a guy that you actually have some working relationship with from a year ago.
Yeah, I agree. I think Gaffney can do what Caldwell did for you last year.
And I think he's developed enough of a rapport with the guys who have played
Could be.
That I don't think it would bother him at all.
Plus, you just throw the ball to Kevin Falk. He won't be covered. We know that.
Well, how about linebackers? Are they going to keep Lua? Or
I still don't think Lua's making the team.
I don't either.
Since the moment I saw him.
I'll say this. I haven't seen anything out of him that would warrant him making the team.
Right.
But
like Rodgers.
A lot of people keep writing that he's on. You know, like Mike Reese's blog, and he's as in tune with
right.
this team as
and
anybody.
I respect his
opinion.
Maybe he makes it. But I just have, like Rodgers, he hasn't played a lot. But when he has been on the field,
he's made
some plays. Lua has not looked good when he's played.
Right.
I'll tell you right now, they don't have any young inside linebackers.
No,
I don't think Alexander can play. I don't think Mays can play.
David Harris,
I don't
lighten
think
it up
Lua
down the pike.
Play. I really don't. I haven't seen anything. Have you guys seen anything out of those three guys? Alexander has not stepped up like I was hoping he would and kind of had that.
No, he was way better a couple seasons ago.
You know what hurt in terms of that for us, from our perspective, is we didn't get a chance to watch him in practice every day. You know, full bore because he had the red non-contact jersey. He wasn't in there with the first groups, and that's when you can kind of gauge a guy's progress. You can see across the line he's going against Stephen Neal and Logan Mankins. Is he getting knocked back? What's he doing? You know, we didn't get a chance to see that for 2 weeks like we did with some other guys. And I agree with you. I haven't seen anything out of those three guys that would warrant he's must keep status.
Right
now, you know, they're going to make. I mean, Alexander, I think, is going to make the team.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So do I.
And I think that the other three guys, it's probably one spot. Now, Mike Reese is, as we just talked about.
A guy you really respect as a
Well, opinion. They have two spots. He had two spots for Rodgers, Mays, and Lua. He had Rodgers and Lua making the team.
I'd go Rodgers and Mays. I know what Mays can do. He can do something for me on special teams. I don't know what Lua can do.
I think I could find 700 people who can do what Mays can do.
I just haven't seen a lot out of Lua in these practices.
I don't think Oscar Lua is one of those 700 people.
Then you keep Mays.
You know, and I'm not trashing the kid.
I think Oscar Lua is way slower. He wouldn't be able to.
He was a seventh-round pick. I mean, he is what he is. I'm not trashing the kid. I don't
who?
Think he, Lua. I don't think he was supposed to be. You know, and Mays, Tom. I think you're right. He's an undrafted free agent. I think he could find 700 guys to do what he did. Again, not trashing the guy. He wasn't a first-round pick. He didn't come in with this can't-miss status that you say, geez, he really never panned out. He's a bust. That's not what we're talking about here.
I think people just like his name.
Lua. Well, I think they like the Brewski-Seau connection and played
people,
at USC.
That's it. I think people saw that he played at USC for this great defense, and he lost his job because of injury to some of the guys, to a couple of guys, you know, Malaluga, whatever you pronounce his name, who was considered one of the best defensive players in college football. They say, well, he must be pretty good. He was in front of that guy. How do you pronounce Ray? Is it Malaluga?
Malaluga. And let's keep in mind, that was a close battle. And Carroll went with the experience, but he was going to overtake him at some point anyway. He got injured on the first play of the season, and that was it. It wasn't like, well, he came back and they put him back in the lineup. So you're talking about four guys at USC who are first-round draft picks playing linebacker. So that's who he was behind. You can look at it that way, but I haven't seen any speed, any quickness, like all the negatives.
He did make a nice, that was a nice interception.
Yeah, they threw it right to him.
No. He snatched that out of the air.
They threw it right to him. They threw it right to him.
That was a good.
That was one of the worst passes I've ever seen. He threw the ball right to him.
That would have bounced off your chest.
I don't play professional
now
football.
Okay, now,
I agree. Tom is not one of the 700 people that can do what these guys can't do.
He just did it again. He went, you know, the very good Randall Gate. First you said he snatched it out of the air. It was almost behind him. And then you said it would have bounced off of Tom's chest.
Right.
Well, which one was
it? Oh, it would have whizzed right by him.
They threw it right to him.
I don't think he made a good play on it.
I believe the bouncing off the chest would have been accurate.
I think he made a good play on it.
It certainly would have bounced off Tom's chest.
Andy, in Sioux City, Iowa, I was finally able to see the Pats in preseason action. I was pretty impressed with most of what I witnessed. However, can we get some analysis from Vino on our kicking problems? Since Vino was a high-profile kicker at the Pop Warner.
That's me.
Eric Scalavino.
Yeah, that's
Vino.
Me.
The wine guys.
Since Vino was a high-profile kicker at the Pop
Warner.
Harris.
Since Vino was a high-profile kicker at the Pop Warner level, maybe he could tell us why we can't make field goals. I'm very concerned about our field goal kicking. Mm. How many championships would the Patriots have right now if not for a clutch kicker?
Zero.
I'm making a prediction right now that we get knocked out of the playoffs on a missed field goal. Nice kickoffs, but come on, make the damn field goals.
I know from experience.
I love Welker and Evans. Say what you want about Evans, but I like what he brings to the offense. I think Welker will be the leading receiver this year, and the defense looks strong. So Eric, okay. What is going on with Steven Gostkowski?
I've written this on the updates on the website. He's in a little bit of a slump right now. I mean, that happens.
Breaking news. What's going on?
Can you let me finish?
You have a level that's a little bit higher than us, so I want to know why. What's the matter with him?
He's missing his kicks, Paul.
He's in a slump.
He's thinking too much is the problem.
There's nothing tactical.
Well, in the Carolina game. Remember when he lined up for that 52-yarder that he missed?
Yes.
And I said to you guys, in warm-ups, he was at the exact same spot and he was hooking them all wide left. And what did he do in the game? He hooked it wide left. When you hook a kick, you're swinging your leg too much.
I know from experience.
When you push a kick,
that's the first piece of information that you gave me that my 2-year-old son couldn't have given me.
And when you
push, you're swinging your leg too much.
If you're
now,
hooking
wouldn't
it, wide
it make
left.
Sense? And I'm not. I'm asking here. I'm asking.
Yeah. No. No.
Wouldn't it make sense if you're hooking a lot of them left in warm-ups, I would have expected him to push one right as an overcompensation.
Right.
And that's what I was expecting him to do, but he didn't. So
I talked to Gino Capoletti after the game, right afterwards, and
he knows almost as much as
Eric. Kicked straight on with a flat-toed shoe.
<Right. laughs> when the earth was flat,
he said to me that
hello.
He said to me that he's not that concerned because it's not like he's spraying it. It's not like one's left, one's right, one's short.
Okay,
all going left, so it's correctable.
Would you agree with that? If you're missing them all the same, it's better than spraying it all over the place.
But in practice, he wasn't.
I would agree with that assessment because if you're spraying them all over the place, that means you're thinking too much about what you have to correct. The fact that he's just missing them in one direction just tells me there's a little slight thing in
his
mechanics.
Plant foot.
It might be
put to ball speed.
There might be something to that.
That's a Shane Donaldsonism.
Though, Fred, you might be onto a little something with that because the times I've seen Gostkowski in the locker room, he has had that left foot taped a little bit heavier than I've ever seen. I don't think he's even had that leg taped before.
Just get a little sprained ankle.
So you know, who knows? That could be a little part of it.
Did they talk about that?
After a tough start, you came back with some actual information there.
Yeah,
well done.
And I think that the part about the slump, swinging the leg too much.
That's a good point.
That's what
Eric.
I'm looking for. That's why we have you on the payroll, my friend.
Thanks. Thank you.
And it's interesting that Fred gave you something to work with there because he was our kicking expert before you came
back.
That's true.
He fell in love with
Robbie Gould. Right, yeah.
Whatever his name is.
He's the one guy that Bill Belichick let go before, you know, within his rookie.
The bottom line on Gostkowski is, As the emailer mentioned, he's great on kickoffs, and as much as everybody loves Vinatieri, we didn't have that with Vinatieri. He was an awful kickoff guy. His kicks would always go from the 15 to the 10. It was horrible.
He was horrible at kickoffs, Fred.
He was a great field goal kicker.
I think he got a lot better.
I know from experience, dude.
He was kicking within the 5.
I think you remember in like his last year here when he was a little.
He had a back problem.
He had as many touchbacks in the league as anybody else in his prime.
I would take Gostkowski over Vinatieri for kickoffs.
I think head up.
I would agree with
but
that.
Overall,
I think people have said that about Vinatieri, but I think that's overblown. He was not that bad.
On a 60-yard field goal to win the game, I'd take Vinatieri 8 days a week over Gostkowski.
Well, over anyone.
A 60-yard field goal?
No matter how far it was, if it had to be made to make the game to win the game, I'd take Vinatieri. And I've seen him make 57-yarder in Chicago.
But the bottom line is, no, the emailer is worried about Gostkowski in the long range. I wouldn't be worried about him long range. The kid has a great leg. For the most part, he's consistent on really long kicks, 50 yards or more. Earlier in training camp when we were watching him slump a little bit, he was slumping from short range, 40 and in.
Right.
And he was hitting everything
from 50 and out. That's a mental thing.
He's kind of switched it now, though. Yeah. He's missing
now
from
it's
long
carrying
range.
Over to the games, though. It was like training camp.
But he's missing from
when's
long
it,
range.
When's it going to be corrected?
He's
46 yards got to go right down the middle. I don't care. 46-yard field goal.
46 yards is more than makeable.
For the NFL.
It's makeable, but it's not a guarantee.
I mean, if it's December and we're talking in the Northeast, that's a tough field goal.
It's a tough field goal any time of year.
But
in the summer,
week before,
in the summer
33 yards.
At the pro level in the summer, that's got
to
be made.
You know, I have to say, in the Carolina game warm-ups, how they do the warm-ups, they just keep working backwards. And there was a kid in the stands right in the middle, you know, behind the goalpost. And all the way to 55 yards, Gostkowski hit this kid every time.
Yeah.
Just right down the middle. And then he got to the game. And then he started.
That's my point.
I thought you said he was missing them to the left.
No, not practice. Not in practice.
Yes,
that's
from,
what you said.
Yeah, from 52, Fred, he was. He had missed.
In Carolina?
Yes, in Carolina.
No, no, no. He was good up to 55.
It's amazing how, and this is not, I'm not criticizing
maybe
you guys.
Maybe it was the second time, but I sat with Casey O'Connell. We watched
We do the same thing in training and camp when we're in the tent. It's amazing how guys can watch field goals in practice and not know if they're good or not.
There was a kid,
it's
every
amazing.
Time went right to this kid that was right behind the goalpost.
The kid wasn't exactly behind the goalpost, Fred.
Well, he was.
See it, so I can't even throw my two cents
All
in.
All right, anyway.
Don't worry about Gostkowski long term. I think he's in, I think he's...
But why should we worry about him long term?
I don't think question.
Are we only not worried about him long term because he had a good year last year?
Because he missed what, three in a row last year or three?
I just don't
want
to lose to the Jets by
the
2 points.
The last 3 weeks, his first week of training camp, he was on fire. He was hitting everything. In minicamp, he was hitting everything. Last season, he was hitting everything. The last 3 weeks,
when he didn't.
The last 3 weeks, he's had a little bit of trouble.
I'm
questioning: is he streaky? Is he go hot, 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 cold for a little stretch? Hot, hot, hot.
I would argue.
Is it mental? Is it?
This
Andy,
year
he's been
itself.
Here for almost a year.
Over a year.
Sort of.
But I would argue. Over a year. He's had a full season under his belt, and last season he was pretty much perfect.
He missed
perfect
three in a row,
get.
I believe, or three out of four. To me, that's a streak of bad kicks.
It's not. No, it's not. It's not as bad as you're making it sound.
Well,
I
think you're making his 2007 performance better than it sounds. I don't think he was really good in minicamp. He had one day where he missed a million in a row, the first day of minicamp. In training camp, he has been inconsistent at best.
Right.
The last 3 weeks, he was flat out bad.
I count his performance by the 8 kicks that he gets at the end of practice in training camp and
see,
in camp.
I count
and
all
for
of
the most
kicks.
Part, he was 6 to 7, if not
and
8 out of 8 most of those days.
6
that's
out
a
of 8
day.
In practice
that's
is
not
terrible.
A good day for
and
an
I think
NFL
anything
kicker.
Yes,
on
it
those,
is a good day.
No, it isn't.
On those kicks,
if he can't go 8 for 8 in practice, then he's not a good NFL kicker.
You need to make every single
practice
kick
is
inside.
Going against the other defense, not just on his own sitting there.
No, I'm sorry. They just stand up. They don't even rush
inside
the kick
inside
of
45 yards, an NFL kicker has to be 100%, and he was not anywhere near that in the training camp practices.
He wasn't hitting all his kicks from inside 45. He was going a lot of 50 and longer.
Every day when they do those 8 kicks,
they
start off from at 23 yards, and they go back in 5-yard increments. They do not ever get over 45.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did, Paul. They didn't.
I'm sorry.
Camp.
I watched those practices. They don't. And I watched the other practices, the other kicks he makes on the other side field, and he doesn't make them all.
I
don't have a problem with him being the kicker. I think he proved himself last year. But to sit there and say that he had a good camp until the last 3 weeks is not painting an accurate
picture. The first week of camp was good. The last 3 weeks,
weird,
which has been most of camp.
Exact copies.
Why do you got to take cheap shots?
That's what I do when I'm not involved in the argument.
We're talking about the kicker here.
And I agree with you.
And
he has not had a strong camp.
At this point, Fred, you shouldn't be worried about the kicker.
But I think that
I think
the reasoning behind why we have a different view of the performance is I think Eric
and Seiko.
They're distracted. They're distracted by the Spanish channel again,
yes.
These guys.
But I think Eric's expectations of practice kicking are different than Andy and myself, and probably Tom too. I think that when you're making those 8 kicks, there's no rush. There's no pass rush there. It's just they're just warm up kicks.
They're not just warm up kicks though, because there's a lot of psychological stuff that the coach throws in there. There's a lot of stuff
much psychological stuff as when there's a game on the line and 68,000 people who will kill you
if
you miss it.
You can't make it in that scenario. You can't.
If one guy yelling, miss it, miss it, miss it.
I think you guys are a little bit more worried about this than you should
be.
I'm not at all worried.
I'm not that worried. I'm not worried at all. I'm just saying what he's done
just
so far has not been great.
Hey,
that's
Tom,
all. He proved himself to me last year. He's fine for me.
Eric from Manchester, New Hampshire, sent you a password and username for the Jenna Jameson fan club online.
Oh, my God.
Oh, all right.
So, and Tom will be forwarding that to me.
And he won't be able to use
no,
it.
Thank you. He says, don't share with more than one other person or our password software will block the username.
Well, then send more passwords or
wait,
we're going to be
wait,
sharing
wait.
Them.
Did he just say our password
I think
software?
He runs it.
Oh, my goodness. That guy is
can
really
you,
shady.
Send more passwords.
Good job. Good job, Eric.
And Eric, send more passwords.
I'm a big fan. Eric, New Hampshire.
Dan Heffron. Dan Heffron goes through the calculations, and he says that the you guys can read this on your own, but he says the stats are not equal for the Patriots to win or lose 0-2, 2-0. It's definitely they'll you know by the odds they'll go 2-0. So and he has
what odds?
What are the odds?
He
got a
50-50
chance. Well, give me the odds of the San Diego game.
Do you want me to read the
we're going to be
just the San Diego.
One and two is 1-4.
He says that the He says the Patriots have a 70% chance of beating the Jets and a 40% chance of beating the Chargers.
So how does that translate?
Where do you get those percent? Who gave you those percentages?
So how does that translate to 2-0?
You got to read the email. I'm not going to read
it. No, I'm not going to waste my time.
It was my understanding that there would be no math.
That's correct.
It's a tough day when I'm in the best mood out of the group.
Let's see.
He's going to tell me I flip a coin. There's not a 50-50 chance. It's heads.
That's because you took the show off.
Craig from South Carolina says he called Asante at his house last week. I'm sure that my discussion had no impact, but I'm glad he came back.
Has Craig always been around?
So Craig from
has South he always Carolina. Had Asante Samuel's phone number?
And why hasn't he forwarded it to us?
I don't know.
Andy, you're full of crap.
We'll finish with Howard's email. He says Adam Schefter is reporting that Asante received a conditional guarantee not to be franchised in 08 based on the Pats' wins in time played by Samuel in 07. As the conditions, have you heard anything about this?
Yes,
we've heard about it.
From Adam Schefter.
But we don't know the specifics.
No, we don't.
Way to go out with a bang.
There is a provision in there that if he meets certain conditions, he will not be franchised.
How many wins is it?
I don't know. I don't know.
What do you think it would be?
I don't know.
You have that confirmed,
it's
got to
be double, you know, like 10, 11, 12.
You have it confirmed that
provision is. I would say it's high.
There is a provision in there.
I would say 11 or 12 would probably be the games.
If they use three-quarter for playing time, why not three-quarter for wins?
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll see you next week on the same show. Echoes of reggae coming through my bedroom wall. Power party up next door, but I'm sitting here all alone. Two lovers in the bedroom, and the other side.